Tonight, a united nation goes forward with the determination to win this war and bring about a just and enduring peace.
Daddy, who is Sean Kennedy?
Or make our peace unless we understand the
Sean Kennedy was just a guy who started talking to people all over the world through an internet radio station called Rant Radio. Eventually, thousands of people all over the world would listen to him talk every Monday night about things that were happening in the world and the things that were going to happen. You see, Sean wasn't governed by anyone or anything. What he screamed into the internet was there for all to see. But that was when we still had rights and freedoms.
There are not enough of you to shoot us all.
You're the few swaggering conquerors. There's no room in a decent world for you and your kind. We little people, thousands, millions of us, will join together and crowd you out of our world.
Welcome to the Sean Kennedy Show, episode number 53. And what does that mean? That means we've been on the air for a year. For a year.
And people are still listening.
More people now more than ever. It's important. You know, somebody told me last show that I shouldn't turn into going through the IRC log after the show was over, because I do that from time to time.
Yeah.
Look
for the bad comments about you.
Change my nick, slash nick.
To O-T. So that you're actually here, right?
Yeah, S-K-T-F-M. Because after all, that would be just horrible if I didn't do that. Episode number 53. And you know what I've learned? After a year of doing this show? You know what I've learned?
I don't know. Have you learned anything?
Well, I've learned a few things.
Yeah.
What have you learned since the beginning?
What have you learned?
I learned how to type well with one hand. I'll tell you. I'm beginning to wonder a little bit. I've got a few questions. There's things that get revealed to you. A few things got revealed to me this year.
Yeah.
Is that some of our listeners are extremely talented people, for one thing.
Very, very.
Very, very talented people. And one of our most talented people, we got the stickers.
We got the stickers,
and I am so impressed with these stickers. I come in here, and sitting in my spot is a roll, this fat Tubi roll of 500 stickers,
roll.
And I'm like, wow, those are stickers? No, Sean. Those are your stickers, Sean.
Not the stickers, your stickers.
So that's just your stack, Sean. I'm like, damn, I get a good cut of stickers over here.
So they're donated by Barcode, designed by Shade.
Wow.
Nice.
So, like, you really can't, you know, look at what Server has done for us.
Server gives unto us.
Server has given unto us through the emissaries of Shade, the other one. What was the other one?
Barcode.
That's right. I knew that. I named Barcode. I gave Barcode that name.
You did?
Yes. I digitally baptized Barcode.
Yes.
Tonight's topic is probably arranged a little bit of suspicion. Chocolate. Who's eating all the fucking chocolate?
Is there a shortage of chocolate in the world?
No, that's my point.
Are you having trouble finding the chocolate?
No. This is one of the things. This is the thing that's starting to piss me off here. Okay, now check this out, okay? Now, Christmas trees.
Yeah, okay.
Christmas trees.
Yeah.
Everybody has a motherfucking Christmas tree. I don't care who you are, okay?
Pretty much.
Even people who aren't fucking Christian have Christmas trees. Buddhists and shit have Christmas trees.
They're nice to look at.
Unless you're a Jehovah's Witness or a Scientologist or
then
some
they
other
hate
fucking
the Christmas tree.
Yeah, unless you're another human race trader, then you'll get a fucking Christmas tree.
That's right. Yeah.
All
right,
so you get your Christmas tree.
Yep.
Now, Christmas trees, that means that there's a big fucking demand.
Huge.
For these Christmas trees. But it's seasonal, right?
Yeah.
It's a seasonal thing.
Not too much in the summer.
That's right.
Really low.
But everybody buys one.
Yep.
So, you know, you buy them at supermarkets. You go to supermarkets. Everyone's got a Christmas tree. Fuck.
Yeah.
The supermarkets can't hit the volume. Like,
no.
Supermarkets are sold out of
money. So they got those lots on the road.
They got lots. They got people everywhere. They got, you know, cut your own tree down, and people all wind up cutting down Christmas trees. Like,
yeah.
It's brutal. You can't go anywhere without getting a Christmas tree.
Yeah, everywhere.
Okay, how many boxes of chocolate did you buy this year?
Boxes. Christmas?
Yeah, like a box, not chocolate bars.
No, but a box of
chocolate. But a box of chocolate is like a pot of gold.
Me, zero. But
I'm
abnormal.
No, you didn't buy any. All right.
Okay, yes.
But like in the IRC, how many boxes of chocolate did you buy this year? One? Maybe one.
Okay.
A box of chocolate. That's a box. I'm not talking candy bars.
Yeah, those little things, right?
Yeah,
you get the guide and you go,
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, there's only coconut left.
There's only coconut. Fuck. God damn it.
I want the coconut.
Where's the cherry one? I like the cherry one. Okay, and I'm beginning to wonder, you know, okay, well, if I only buy one box of chocolate.
Yeah.
If chocolate's perishable, you can only keep them on the shelves for 2 months.
Yeah.
who the fuck's buying all this chocolate? Every supermarket, I'm in the supermarket, I'm looking at the shelves, there's fucking shelves of these chocolates.
Yes.
And they perish. They're 2 months.
Yeah, all the Christmas chocolates, right?
No, pot of gold and shit.
Okay, yeah.
Who's buying all the fucking chocolate? There's something going on, man. Who's buying all this fucking chocolate? And that has become my number one thing that I've learned this year is that something, who the fuck is buying all the chocolate? I don't have an answer for this.
Maybe those missing children are buying all the chocolate.
I don't know. But that is now my new mantra. When shit is going wrong.
Pile of flesh.
When wogs,
pile of chocolate.
When wogs know that there's shit happening, they can look at each other and go, I want to know who's eating all the fucking chocolate. Because there's something else going on here with this chocolate thing. I don't know. Maybe it's currency. Maybe some
more chocolate than people,
maybe,
right?
Maybe it's currency. Maybe there's something...
Perishable currency?
If people aren't buying the chocolate, maybe something else is buying the chocolate. Maybe the chocolate's being used for something else. Who's buying all the fucking chocolate, man?
I don't know.
I want to know. I want to know who's
That's
buying the chocolate.
Strange effects on people, women especially.
Oh, yeah. But where's it going? We're not buying chocolate. No one is excited.
Chocolate landfill?
But it's got to go somewhere. They're selling it. They wouldn't stack the shelves.
If it wasn't going to go somewhere.
So who's buying chocolate?
Another surplus again
who's
this
buying
year?
The goddamn chocolate? Where's all the chocolate going? I want to know where all the chocolate's going. You know what else? Some other people want to know where the chocolate's going. The people going and wanting to know where the fuck the chocolate's going tonight are. We have Statics. We have... Is Shovel a person or is that a robot?
No. Robot.
Robot?
You can say his name.
That's me. Smokehouse. Snake. Out there. Zandit. Active Love there. Turtle. Alien Binary. Alamode. Alamode Zero. Alpha 736. Ultra Boy. Angelica Cosplay. Angry Monkey. Who's a chick? I found that out.
And really?
A Pantherfree. Yeah. Huh. APOC. Barcode. Bastard Guy. Black. Breaker 1. Burger. Caffeine Powered. Oh, I gotta open this up.
Caffeine Powered.
Caffeine Powered L. Case. Citizen FD Penis. Kyle 23. Delamorto. Delusion. Droopy. Dr. Nostromo. Earth Scum. Got your email. Good guy. Flood. Griffin. Hero Killer. Id Fungus. Hey, Justin. Good to see you. I hope everybody in the Goon Squad crew is doing well. K16. Night School. You should be doing work. That's why you're at fucking night school.
Yeah.
Catath. Caxler. Kindling Boy. Lechek. Lento. Lorax. Loser. Marybelle Version. Mick J. Milky. Misconduct. Mole's Feet, AFK, Mr. Echo, Napkin, Neuralize, New Wave, Nixon, Persistent Object, great fucking name,
yeah.
PID, awesome. Or PID, Prune Scholar, Punk of Evil, Ratsputin, Rich, hey Rich, good to see you man, got something for you, Rosalie, I wonder if that's Rose,
I think so,
be.
Yeah.
Sam I Am, Sapphire,
Sapphire,
Rob, your nipples, Shade, Sir Dark, Sitting by Chris, who wants to be sitting by Sapphire, SKFM, Data Stamper, Starbaby, Stats, Snuffle Up, I guess, Technophile, The Bug, Temper Night, Transistor, Trotsky's Ghost, Turmoil, Turnspike, Up, The Vampire This Morning, The Urki, Zootroy, Nosferatu, which I really like that name, D-Day Species, Intricate, Lieutenant Major Zombie, and a Doopster.
See, they come in.
Doopster just
showed
up.
They'll pile in at the last minute.
Fucking A. Doopster no doubt has tuned in from Toronto, which I'm sure he's having a good time. So,
cool.
Very, very cool. But anyway, if you want to get here, I would better get back into this.
Yeah.
If stay here until we come and get him, you are free to distribute this broadcast in any way you fit. You can hand it out. You can burn it to disc. You can fire it in giant slingshots at Hooker's thighs. You can do whatever you want with it. I don't really give a flying fuck.
Rebroadcast it.
We rebroadcast. Yeah, which is happening now, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a minute. And if you want to join the IRC so I can read out your name at the beginning of the show, how do we do that? Sim.
We
Micro
can.
And
understood it, too.
Yeah.
You can go to the webpage, click on community, and click on chat.
Click on community, click on chat.
And then say yes to installing the backdoor software that I want to get into your computer with.
Do you always want to trust the Gator Corporation?
Please. Gator.
Okay, cool.
Bye now. Or you can download your own IRC client and be cool like us.
And like Mercy.
Like Mercy, M-I-R-C.
The one I always like because I couldn't use another one.
And go to the IRC channel, Rant Radio in the other side servers.
Mm-hmm.
That backwards, but hey, it works.
We have proof
of
Sim is not vegan.
How's that?
Well, I got something here on the web that you just got to put up there, and you will see proof that you are in fact not vegan. You have not always been a vegan. We have evidence of that.
I didn't think it was a very good picture of me, but.
Aha!
A kid
somebody
more
sucking
a,
on a giant hooter.
And more of an alien shaped head than.
Yeah, that's not... That's
blue eyes, but all babies are born with blue eyes.
Are they?
Most,
No, they're not.
A lot of them are. Blonde hair, blue eyes.
Whoa!
You always hear that. Oh, when I was a baby, I had blonde hair and blue eyes. And
so why did
it got
you change?
Darker. I don't know. Something strange
going on. Who's eating all the fucking chocolate? Why is the baby's eyes changed color?
I don't know. Maybe they're switching. Like, baby switching.
Don't make fun of that. Why the fuck is he... People do that. You know, that's total child's on fire. I don't know, Sean. Who's eating all the chocolate?
I don't know, Sean.
What happened to those 3,000 people? No. What the fuck happened? Why? I mean, if I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, there's my baby.
Can somebody back me up? Can somebody back me up?
I'm serious, man. That's like, you know...
Yeah. I don't know. People aren't backing me up, but...
No, of course not. Well, it takes 20 seconds.
Sim is smoking crack.
Sim is smoking crack. Why?
Baby's eyes do change color, Chocolate Cripple says.
Oh, wow. So much for the Chocolate Cripple. Well, it's a Chocolate Cripple, but it's Chocolate Cripple goodness. Wives tale. Yeah.
I don't know about that, because I've heard
hang on.
Mothers say, my baby was born with blue eyes.
Me and the dark one
maybe
have a kid.
Under a delusion.
Me and the dark one have a kid. Okay. After I come down off the ceiling far enough to say, yeah, okay, I guess we'll leave this kid in the hospital overnight, but I'm not trusting, you know, a bunch of these saucer jockeys might come here and abduct my child.
Yeah.
But if I come back in there and they're like, oh, here's your baby. And I'm like, this baby is brown eyes.
My baby
had blue eyes. And my wife would be like, no, it's okay. It's okay, Sean.
Brown.
No, it's okay, Sean. No, it's not okay. My baby had blue eyes. Why is this baby got brown eyes? No, that happens. It happens.
Just happens.
It just fucking happens.
Just accept it, Sean.
Roll
with it, Sean.
Yeah, you got a problem here because, you see, I have to put a Rant Radio sticker on my baby's ass. And where's the sticker on this baby's ass?
It's missing.
Where's my baby? I don't know. Oh, really?
Where's the baby?
Well, it's not really up to you to know where the baby is. It's up to the people who are going to come for you to know where the baby is, because I'm going to cut off one of your fucking digits every 10 minutes until my baby shows up. So get comfy. You got 10 minutes.
Yeah. Oh. There's a bunch of people saying, yeah, they don't have all their pigmentation yet, and blah, blah.
So why is it blue? It's not pink. Right? That doesn't make sense. Or white, like albinos got pink eyes. I've got blue eyes.
That's right. So it should start off pink.
So it should start off pink.
And slowly absorb the color.
And can you change that? Can you change that? Could you alter their pigmentation as they go?
Color injection straight into the eye.
Like, could we, like, you know, put a wound, you know, like get some radiation on that little motherfucker and maybe good to go?
Maybe.
That's weird, man. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Custom babies?
That's it. Fuck that. I'm not leaving the nursery.
You're watching. No. Camera. Put a camera on that baby.
I'm going to have a webcam.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a whole internet full of fucking babysitters. What are you going to watch, John? Maybe. Why? Well, because Templar Knight's on the other building. He's got a rifle.
Yeah, I've got this 4-hour shift, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Got to watch the baby. Baby watching.
Baby watching.
You're like, aren't you worried about your kids? Nope. Internet's watching them.
Best babysitter in the world.
I got digital angel. Yeah, I got digital something. I don't know if they're fucking angels. Angels to me, demons to some, angels to others. But it works out for me. So, yeah, what do we do? We went over that. Oh, if you want to get in touch with us, how do we do that?
You can get Sean at theman@ramradio.com.
That's right.
And you can get me at info@ramradio.com. Very simple.
Info@rantradio.com. All lowercase.
Yeah. So if you got stories, send them to Sean. If you got media, send them to me.
Don't send Sim the links. He hates that. He gets all mad.
Unless you think I'm going to be really interested in them. But I hear them on the show just like you.
He's throwing out his garbage and stomping around and cleaning up.
Sean, there's McDonald's garbage in my garbage.
There's car garbage in my house garbage. What the fuck?
Please get your car garbage out of my house garbage. I'm going to freak out.
In special appeal to me this week, WOG has been published.
Hmm?
Yes. A WOG has been published.
Really?
Got an email. Well, I got myself published. A 5-page. This is from Prophet Doodle. Well, I got myself published. A 5-pager in Weird NJ. It's a local mag
Weird
about how fucked up shit in New Jersey.
Weird New Jersey. Cool.
Yeah, I was talking to Alpha 736 and Sloth or whatever since he's in New Jersey too, and sent him over to the site to check it out. He said I should drop you a line, and since you're always wanting to know locations, all sorts of weird or paranormal shit, the address of the site is www.weirdnewjersey.com.
Cool.
Very cool. My story isn't on their page, but it's in issue number 19. Anyway, check it out. Okay. I've been to a lot of places. The only thing that's ever turned out to be bullshit is the rumors behind the places. But everything else is boarded up and considered haunted by somebody. but everything boarded up is considered haunted by somebody. Cheers, Prophet Doodle. Well, that's very cool, though. I mean, that's awesome when people get published. I think that's very super cool. Me being a little writer myself. You know?
Like hearing that.
Yeah. I like hearing that. So that's good. I was really pleased about that. And we also got some feedback from Lone Feather.
Nice.
We have just been rebroadcast. Oh, my God. What an incredible show Sean Kennedy has. I have a little internet radio station known as Encounters, which airs paranormal-based radio shows like the Lou Gentle Show.
Who?
Encounters, Ghostly Talk, and others. Once I found the Sean Kennedy, I had to put up on the playlist. A talented DJ.
I'm a talented DJ.
You're a talent. It's Lone Feather says so.
I'm a talented DJ.
Yep. Put that in your business cards.
DJ. Disc jockey.
Where's your discs, Sean? Where's your creative vinyl?
I'm a talented. Would that make me an RJ?
A radio jockey.
Maybe a blowjob.
BJ.
It could be a BJ. How about BS?
Sure. We'll settle on BS.
Yeah, we'll settle on BS. And slightly demented. Slightly?
That's better.
Slightly. Don't you use your adverbs on me.
Come on.
It's a great addition to the stream. Thanks for allowing it. Don't cross the streams. Thanks for allowing everyone to air your program.
Did we say that?
What's
that? We did too. Okay.
Thanks for allowing everyone to air your program.
Okay.
That's what
good.
I said. Why?
I'm just joking.
Oh, okay, good. I'm like, what the fuck?
What? He's airing it?
Thanks for
said not to.
Thanks for allowing everyone to air your program. I'm currently replaying archive shows. Would love to air your stream live. Peace.
Go for
Lone Feather.
Happy.
Air that live. But interview us so that we can have yet another interview.
Speaking, we need more interviews.
We do. And
we love interviews.
And for you really sick fucks who want to hang out after the show tonight.
For the special one-year anniversary.
For the special one-year ad nauseum show. We have got an interview with the guy who was here last week.
Peter Tupper.
Yes.
Yes, that's fine. Peter Tupper.
We're saying his name. Okay.
That's fine. He's published. He's a writer. He wants credit.
Then people can just do a search on Peter Tupper and see whatever else he's written, too. I mean,
that's right.
Because that might prove interesting if you were to type Peter Tupper's name in Google and
that's
see what
right.
else he's done.
Yep. Read his stuff.
You know, I've never done it myself, but I understand he's probably done some good stuff.
Yep. He's been published.
So that's cool. So if you want to hang out after the show, you can listen to Peter. And
mostly nuts and nuts, actually.
Mostly nuts and nuts, because we say the usual ad nauseum shit we say in every other goddamn interview. Only updated. And I talk a little bit about my writing and stuff like that, because you actually had some questions about my writing, which was nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. And my band.
And your band.
Yeah. We like promoting ourselves.
We like promoting our band. And my writing. Somehow we should. Actually, you should make a song about my writing.
Sure.
Or I could write a story about your band.
There we go.
That would work.
We'll do a cross thing. Cross promotion.
It'll be like when Spider-Man fights, you know, Superman.
That's
and stuff.
Right. It's DC versus Marvel.
Which pisses me off.
Kennedy versus Marvel.
Incidentally, the whole fucking, you know, Spider-Man thing just makes me crazy. I really wanted to fucking like Spider-Man. No, all of Spider-Man. Spider-Man pisses me off.
Okay.
Totally, because give me a big Marvel bad guy. Any big Marvel bad guy.
Like, Doctor Doom.
I'm Doctor Doom.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, I'm Doctor Doom. I'm fucking just a Nightmare on Elm Street, okay?
Yep.
The whole goddamn X-Men go up against Doctor Doom, and they barely get the guy down. Wolverine gets fucked up, okay?
Ripped apart again.
Everyone gets torn to shreds. Everyone's bleeding, you know, deep inner emotional scarring. Add the drama.
Yep.
Or they could have just called Spider-Man, because he can handle just about anyone by himself, and all he does is crawl on walls and sling web.
True.
That's all he does. I'm really strong. I'm amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking A, you're amazing.
All
you can
the
do
city.
The shit that the whole X-Men can't do, but you can do it on your own.
I don't understand that.
That pisses me off. Also, you know who's better? Batman or Punisher? Who's better? Punisher.
Punisher.
Why? Batman is exactly the same.
Because Punisher's got training.
No, he doesn't. He was in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Big fucking deal.
He's got a lot of weapons knowledge.
Yeah, Bruce Wayne's a fucking millionaire.
Well, he just buys his stuff. He's like, I think I'll have two of those.
I think I'll have two of those. I mean, the Punisher is the common man. He's the common man superhero.
That's why I liked him.
Yeah, the Punisher is obviously better than Batman, but I think if Batman and the Punisher went at it, the Batman would win. Right? Because everyone's like, oh, it's Batman. Bullshit, man.
They just keep throwing money at the problem.
Yeah, you know, we're like, well, you know, I'm the Dark Knight, and la-da-da-da-da. Fucking good old Frankie over there has been slitting throats since he was 19, so fuck you, Batman. He would have fucking taken the Joker out back and had him kiss a curb in a pretty big way.
You'd have him tied up and torturing him, right?
Seriously, he'd be cutting fingers off and shit.
And kill him just for fun.
No, he must go to Arkham. No, I don't waste time. I waste maggots. It's a zip.
You're just like the people who killed my family.
You're just like, what? Yeah, what? And now we're gonna have, you know, yet another Punisher. Flashback as to how he, you know, has killed his family. Oh, in the park.
He was a kite.
It was a kite. No kidding. Oh, no. And every fan
spray of bullets
skips those five pages.
The frame goes red.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You know, he's tortured. Oh. And every time there's a crossover, he's always having a nightmare somewhere in the crossover, too, so that those fans can know why he's...
Just in case you haven't read the last comic.
Just in case you don't happen to know who the Punisher is. And then Marvel got a hold of him. Fuck that character.
I never saw that movie because I didn't want it ruined for me.
Oh, they never made a movie.
Nope, didn't exist.
I'm in total denial. Total denial. And a lot of other people are in total denial, too, according to Smokehouse. Also, only two people entered the writing contest. At this time, it looks like Shade won, unless you want to extend it for another week. I didn't bother to send it to you because the other entry was so half-assed, it was a no-brainer. Actually, there was another entry, but the person cheated by plagiarizing something. So he got three entries, one of which was a cheater. Which
guess what? Google works, so don't plagiarize.
So, yeah, the funny thing is, I thought that was very funny that somebody like plagiarized, because that's like such something that one of our fans would do. That doesn't really make me mad. I'm like, good for you.
You didn't get away with it, but it's funny.
Yeah, so, but to be honest, we've never really had a bunch of writers.
No, that's true.
You know, we never really had. So what we're going to do, rather than just hand it a Shade's like, what do you mean? Hang on, I should get stickers.
Fuck you, you got stickers.
did we already send him some stickers? Did Shade get stickers? Oh, yeah.
He should have stickers by now. I mean, I'm in Canada. He's in the States.
Oh, yeah, he said he got his stickers and stuff.
Did he? Okay, cool.
Yeah, so don't worry, Shade. We do appreciate that. But I do want more people to be able to participate in this competition.
Yeah,
it's not a competition for three people. Like, fuck.
Yeah, only the elite may win.
Only elite people. Elite. But we'll give you details. Actually, remind me at the end of the show. Let me make a note to talk about that for the.
Yep. At the end?
The extension rules.
Okay.
Extension rules. Because I have to cover some stuff about these fucking this alien problem.
You gotta get on with the alien problem before it's too late.
Before we get on, yeah, we'll deal with that.
I mean, it's important.
Whoa, I'm getting mad. I swear to God, I'm turning into Macho Man Randy Savage over here. Macho Man. I don't really know. But so we only have three people under, so sorry, Chad, we're not just going to hand it over to you.
Yeah.
You already won some stuff, so just take it
easy. Have you won within the past year?
Yeah, if you won.
So you're disqualified.
Got a letter from Doobster. Doobster here. Haven't been getting a chance to listen to the show for a while, and over the holidays, work hasn't permitted. Also, I'm sorry that I missed 4-year anniversary
show.
They're always like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm not Catholic. Don't worry about it. I'm a lot more Buddhist. Cut him some slack. You know, it's all right. Anyway, I'm dropping you this line to show you a work currently in progress with my story that I did for your character Liberio and make his appearance with permission you gave me several months back. Is this still cool to do this? Yes, do anything from Tales in the Afternoon. That's fine.
We like.
In my comic Project Next Run, I had plans for coloring it, but Bastard Guy has nagged me to let him do it, so I said, okay. So apparently they're going to put my character in there, which is really, really nice. I'm also doing a soundtrack for the song. I would like to do a track inspired / loosely based on Tales from the Afternow. I would like you to go ahead to do so. I know that you always like people doing stuff with the Rant Radio Show, but seeing as Tales from the Afternow is more of a creative work, I didn't want to do anything without your go-ahead. The song is an industrial piece, industrial being one of your favorite genres of music for the past 7 years, and will include some sound clips from Tales. Anyway, I hope you hear me soon. Should be in the chat room on Monday to listen to the show, which he was. He's in the chat room right now. He's listening. And by all means, thank you so much.
That is
so nice, guy, that you would do that. And if you want to put the librarian in there, fucking it, guy. Go hard. And if you want to do the...
Just send it to us. Make sure
we get copies because we just like it. Because, you know, it's good. You know, put it on the I Love You All.
Yeah.
That's really good. That's really good. I like that.
Oh, for halftime, I missed a song.
What song?
It's a Tales from the Afternow remix.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, goody!
So we got something.
Goody! So we have it.
We have it.
Right on.
Nice.
Nice.
Copper Top. March to the End, it's called.
Ooh. God. God.
Appropriate name.
God, that's really tight. That's really, really cool. I got to stick you in some more.
I'm pretty sure I haven't played this. No.
I would remember that. I've never heard any remixes of stuff like that. So very, very cool. Very, very cool. I also got a feedback here from Earth Scum.
Earth Scum.
Which I've got such a boner for that guy's name. That's awesome
nice
name. I'm
name.
Earth Scum. He said he tuned in. He's like, whoa. Tuned in a bit late last night. Caught the Planet X thing.
Come on.
Yeah, this shit cracks me up. Okay, here we go. First, Planet X. I'll call it by its ancient Sumerian name, Nibiru. As Scum has, as you've stated from the news, a 3,600-year elliptical, almost comet-like orbit around the sun and back to our solar system. If Nibiru is going to swing close to the Earth in the spring, don't you think we'd see it in the southern sky? Also, if you don't think so, think again. 6,000-year-old Sumerian-carved stone tablets actually show 10 planets in our solar system. Surprisingly, the carvings actually depict the correct sizes and have only discovered the last three planets in the last couple of hundred years through the use of our increasingly higher-power telescopes. But how did the ancient Sumerians know about the existence of 10 planets? Kind of makes a person wonder. There have been multiple ancient pictures and carvings that have depicted large red objects in the sky in addition to the sun. Supposedly, Nibiru is visible to our planet as it passes through the solar system, even through the daytime.
Hmm.
So I'm like, well, first of all, wow, we have some really smart people who listen to our show.
No kidding.
Well, they do hang research. On, Sean. I happen to know something about this Planet X thing.
Now, hold on a minute, Sean.
Which is kind of weird, you know, because I'm thinking that the show is probably going to become a huge resource for me. Because
you mentioned something.
Well,
my
job is changing.
Okay.
My job is changing.
To what?
Well, believe it or not, and a lot of people aren't going to believe this. A lot of people know, okay, that I write horror.
Yes.
And I increasingly want to know who's eating all the fucking chocolate.
Yes.
There's something else going on here.
It's becoming a social issue.
It is. Well, more than that, man. There's something else going on. There's people going missing in Alaska. More than you think.
Alaska?
Oh, more than you think. I'll get into that later. Oh, more than you think.
Oh, okay. Okay.
More than you think.
Oh.
Like 3,000 people a year.
From Alaska.
From Alaska.
That's a lot.
Fuck off at the high point.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of fucking people.
That's not a lot of people to begin with in Alaska.
Where the fuck is all the chocolate going? I want to know.
Alaska?
I don't know. I don't know. It's just an expression, man. It just means there's something else going on here.
Okay.
That's what that means. But seriously, and the more I think about this, the more I think about the chance that seems that everyone knows that I'm working security, but the security company I work with is going,
right.
Hey, Sean, we need a private investigator. And I'm like, dun, 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 dun. That's so Magnum P.I. Dun, 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 dun. So it turns out that I might be doing the private investigation thing.
Okay.
So all I need to do is just start waiting for, you know, the time when, you know, I'll start finding stuff. Maybe I should start doing reports on private investigation stuff, you know?
You could.
I should start
investigating
occult stuff, and maybe I'll make a lot of it up, but it'd be fun, you know?
But that's what makes it fun.
That's what makes it fun, you know, because that's really where I want to go with it, so. Well, I can't really do, you know, another stream, Jack, because they'll get wise to that.
Yeah.
But like, all bullshit. You, no, they're like, fuck you, Sean, you're not going to drop. No, seriously, I swear to God. I am actually, the guys want to use me as a private investigator, like, no shit.
Really? Like, yeah. What kind of stuff, like following people?
I don't know, whatever pays the fucking bills.
That's right. Yep.
There I was, sitting on my desk, and she came in looking like a long, drenched leaf in the summer raindrop. Wow, that really didn't make sense. I don't write that genre. I'm a lot better with,
thank
you know...
God. With true like, crime.
With, like, septic corpses and shit like that. That's more my speed. But anyway. Yeah, you know, and I don't know. It's just, it's an interesting thing. So, but... it's neat that I could go, guys, I found something.
Sean finally got a job as a Cthulhu hunter.
Yeah, as a Cthulhu buster, essentially.
Yep.
And I'll remember to bring more than just my fucking Palm Pilot.
And your keys.
Yeah, and my keys.
Stab them with your keys.
I'll get your phone number. That's so bad,
and
man.
Phone you at night.
So it's kind of, yeah, and I'll phone you, and I'll breathe heavy. You know, like, what the fuck? Anyway, in the general news, moving on to general news, the Woody the Wog has requested body armor and a good sword and lots of ammunition due to Africa to kill poachers who are gathering in large groups and becoming more destructive. Now, I don't know if people know this, but back in the day, me and Ronan and Sarah were going to go to Africa and fucking kill poachers. Well, since that day, like 5-10 years ago, it's become a really fucking big problem. Until the end of the 1980s, the forests and savannas... Rose, you may want to turn out from this one, sweetie. This is a bad fucking story, okay? You don't want to hear this one. Until the end of the 1980s, the forests and savannas of the eastern side of the Central African Republic were full of wild animals. Local hunters and a few poachers killed everything they could eat, and it seemed to make little difference. Then in the 1990s, the reduced resource wars began. Large and alarmingly well-organized gangs of poachers came west from the Sudan. Hides and meat were cut from the carcasses of lions, leopards, cheetahs, hyenas, buffaloes, and elephants. It was horrible, a tour guide said, speaking to a film crew that later sold some of its footage to NPR. Poachers used anti-tank weapons to blow the elephant's head off. Forests and the savannas were burned to the ground. Groups of animals were killed en masse. The meat is smoked and shipped to crowded African cities or to exotic restaurants in Asia and Europe. Dirt-poor governments, faced with problems ranging from health care crisis to armed rebellions, have been powerless to stop the so-called bushmeat trade. Conservationists say... Oh, bushmeat trade, conservationists say. That's bad use of a comma. sorry, I've been editing all week. Poaching expert Kathy Austin directs the Arms and Conflict Program, a nonprofit group called Fund for Peace. You don't need Fund for Peace, baby. That's not what you need. What you need is you need a bunch of wogs with a fucking Cadillac and a pimple mount. Okay, that's what you need. She tracked African poaching trends since 87. She says poaching grew more destructive in the market behind bushmeat was commercialized and then militarized. So... I don't know about you, but elephants happen to be one of my favorite animals.
Oh, yeah?
The way I see it is I'm really not into elephants getting fucking shot with any tank weapons.
Mm-hmm.
That's pissing me off. That's,
you have to go hand-to-hand if you're going to take down...
Well, you want to fucking kill something. If you want to kill for sport, no problem. Use a knife. You can kill whatever the fuck you want with a knife. If you want to kill for sport, right blood, fucking A, it's fair.
It's pretty fair.
You want to kill for sport, fucking A. Use any size knife you want. I might even say use an axe.
Yeah?
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe.
If you want to kill it for sport, because you got to run and catch it with an axe. But you want you want to fucking step up to a grizzly bear with an axe?
Ooh.
Yeah.
You might get one hit in.
You sure shit aren't going to take no lion with no axe.
No.
Actually, no, an axe is bullshit. You want to do it, you use a knife. You can take it with a knife, you fucking go ahead.
Two knives. One in each hand.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Got claws.
Yeah, they got claws.
Yeah.
They don't, we don't even have back claws. We have intelligence.
We got nothing.
Yeah, so fuck you. Yeah. You want to go right on. You use a knife, cocksucker. Fucking piece of shit. I hate these people who do sport hunting, man. That really pisses me off. Ooh, will you eat meat, Sean? Yeah, fucking eat meat. I'm not fucking burning down forests and shit and shooting deer. I never shot Bambi, okay? That wasn't anything. I'd rather eat Bambi because, you know, a lot of these meat, they're making it fucking... Like, I'd rather eat organic beef, but that's another thing. In other news, sure. North Korea tells the nuclear pact to fuck off, which is, this has been all over the goddamn news. And, of course, America doesn't care because there's no fucking oil in North Korea, so who gives a shit? Right? They're looking, no, there's all kinds of nuclear weapons of mass destruction over here. No, no, there's some in Iraq. No, there's not. The UN says there's not.
But
no.
We got some.
No,
no you don't.
Oh,
no,
it doesn't look good. What do you mean it doesn't look good? Are you getting the same goddamn reports we're sending? Oh, this is all bad. We know you got the bombs. No, they don't, guy. We've been in everywhere. We've been like...
We've looked.
Believe me, we want to find the bombs.
If they had
do
bombs.
Do not think we're careful about this. You know,
it wasn't under the rug. Wasn't, you know, there?
Well, it wasn't under the rug. And, you know, not in a train. Not in a plane.
Not in a boat. Not in a
box.
Seriously,
Dr. Seuss could not make a fucking nuke bomb over there. Okay, it's just, you know, I'm sorry. Me and the Lorax could not find any fucking nuclear proliferation. Okay, I'm sorry. North Korea says withdrawing immediately from the non-nuclear proliferation treaty, however, which seeks to control the spread of nuclear technology. The official Korean Central News Agency said that although Pyongyang, what a fucked up name that is, was pulled out of the NPT and has no intention of producing nuclear weapons. Well, we're getting out, but we don't want to make nuclear weapons. Well, what kind of bullshit is that?
Kind
of
opposing statements?
Yeah, that's not cool. I don't know. Why the fuck else would you do that? Now, that kind of a thing makes me nuts. That kind of a thing makes me nuts. That's all I got for general news, because everything else has been Illuminati news.
Really?
Yeah, well, there's
more
not much...
More and more leaning towards...
Well, it's more towards, you know, war! We must go to war!
The war you don't see.
George Bush is the giant robot from fucking Judge Dredd. War. Yeah. What's the program? War. Seriously, he fully is. I mean, what the fuck, guy? You guys like, we need some oil.
Who we got to fight to get some oil?
Who do we got? Hey, old timer, who you gonna kill next? Bet you Rose hasn't listened to. You know what? Rose asked for
what?
Muse to Death.
Oh yeah.
For Christmas. And you know what? She's sitting there right now going, I haven't listened to that yet.
She got it?
Yeah, she's got it. She got it for Christmas.
She'll listen to it after the show or something.
She should, but she's not gonna.
Oh, okay.
She never does. She probably left it, you know, somewhere. I'm almost sure she hasn't listened to it. She said she would, but I'm pretty sure she
has a ransom somewhere. Shut.
I don't know. She's just I wonder where Rose is. I guess she's not at the show. She's not in my basement.
Where could she be?
Where could she be?
Not screaming so up in a hole.
Well, I hope she's not.
You want your precious.
I hope you're not down no fucking well. You know, that's a fucked up thing. I do turn into Smeagol when I'm writing. I have to turn that. I get like all mad and I yell at myself, and like it's funny. Last week I was going insane editing and like doing capitalization. Have you ever done hardcore editing, like a master's thesis or something like that, where you've got like a 100-page document you're editing or a 200-page document? Oh my god, I turn into fucking Smeagol. I'm like, no, it's the capitalizer. Oh, he hates it. You know, and you're like looking at me, go away, never come back. You know, I'm serious. Oh my god, I just turned absolutely fucking brainless. Oh, it's so bad. Holy shit. Okay, so what do you got before feedback? What did you get?
Well, we got the pictures up now from the 4-year anniversary, if anybody cares to look at some...
There's a very sexy picture of Desmond on there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's sexy. He looks like a Down syndrome child with lipstick on.
Up against the wall.
Yeah, he looks really good. He looks good. Yeah.
He looks good. Best he's ever looked.
Yeah,
He's at the top of his game.
He looks good. Who else is here? What else we got?
Look at all those people. You've got
Pictures
me, Drexel, Tack, PVM, Medic, Black Wolf, Soma, Shy One, Baby Shy One.
Baby Shy One.
Bob from Peru, Quo Thanky, Not an Arc, .com, Girl and Girl on the Left. So there they are.
Well, that's really cool.
All their glory.
I'm glad everybody showed up. That's tight. Holy cow.
Crazy angle.
Crazy.
And you got pictures of the cake and stuff.
Well, that's cool.
And there's still cake in the fridge if you want it.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to watch that.
We can get that.
Yeah,
I don't know when.
I can eat some cake. And you know who's in the studio tonight?
Who's in the studio?
Well, I gotta have this. The Hammer Man.
Hammer.
Hammer has sailed in from, because now he works for Starfleet. And
yeah?
No, he does.
Leave from Starfleet.
Yeah, what's the name of the cruiser you use? What is it? Yeah, he's aboard the USS Halifax.
USS Halifax.
Yeah, yeah, and he cruises in and they docked.
Yeah,
he's beamed down here and he's hanging out and that's where he's from, the USS Halifax.
Nice, nice, nice.
So it's very, very cool. We're very proud.
That's there's a picture of me with a knife.
What? You have a picture of you with a knife?
An insane picture of me with a knife.
Photoshop! Photoshop that! I want a picture of a cow! I want a dead gerbil on the end of that blade! Oh, yeah, we got to call Photoshop on that one. I call Photoshop on Sim holding a blade. You won't get much of that.
No, not
you won't
too
get
often.
Much of that. I want Photoshop that up the ass with a Rant Radio shirt. You betcha. He's holding an eye.
Fark that.
Oh, yeah. Fark that. Photoshop the shit out of that. I mean, oh, my God. You could have the blood running down the arm. You can sharpen his teeth. You got teeth there, you can put fucking fangs on, and oh, it's good. Oh, it's good. Very, very cool. So that gives you something to do while listening to the music.
Yep.
And what music do we have this week?
The song is Copper Top Did It, March to the End.
Okay, well, we got to have another song. We can't just have the one song. We'll find another song and put it up there in the meantime. And
find one.
Oh, I know what I'd like to hear. I'm sure we might have someone kicking around. Some SPF 1000. I've had a hankering for SPF.
I think
I've also had a hankering for Manson for some crazy reason. I've had like this weird, bizarre hankering to listen to something by Manson.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like from probably the Antichrist Superstar album.
Okay.
My favorite album I've ever done.
Sure.
Is that doable?
That's completely doable. I have that album. So.
Oh, do you? Nice. Okay, well, we're going to play that, and we're going to play... Now, who did this? This is a remix of... From Tales from the Afternoon.
I'm pretty sure.
Let's hope.
Pretty sure. Let's hope.
Okay, well, we'll see.
If it's not, it's something else.
Okay, because I didn't even know it was done. I mean, there's very few things that really make me get quite so high and hard is when people do remixes of my stuff.
No kidding.
You know what I mean? And I'm really looking forward to when the books get out and then people will be able to, like, you know, read the books and
book
do stuff.
Remixes.
Yeah, which
cut and,
I guess I'll have
cut
to
and
do,
paste paragraphs
I'll
and stuff.
I'll have to do audio or something on my books. I mean,
oh, for sure.
I'm probably a lot stronger as an audio person than I am as a
reader. That'd be so sweet.
I should, yeah. Maybe I should.
Read the whole book. At, like,
yeah, do like an audio version of it. Maybe that might be cool.
For people who can get in the car and listen to it, right?
Yeah, that'd
can't
be cool.
Read in the
you
car,
put it
right?
on
the,
Yeah, we might do that. That might be cool.
That'd be cool.
And I could put sounds in there and go like...
I wonder how long it would take to read that.
Of course, there's a sex scene.
Ooh.
It's pretty racy, too. And I was
ooh.
Like, what?
Where's
whoa.
The book?
Whoa, what? Well, where's this book at?
we're gonna
play the show now. No, you said there was sex, man.
Tell us more about the sex.
Tell us more about the sex, man. Sex, titties, man. So we're gonna play this, which
Manson.
Is cool, and then something by Manson.
Sure.
All right.
That sounds good.
Come back.
This is a pirate radio broadcast. Things English. Something that I can tell. I hope I'm going to be here. Turn this off. You're the one that needs it more than anyone. nation to legislate all civil rights way. This is a pirate radio broadcast. Things English from something I like to know.
I'm not afraid of the dark.
All right, God. I went to that show, and that was such a good show. Wow, they were really loud. I'm coming over the speakers.
Oh, wow, I have to turn it
down. I'm so loud. Sorry. There we go. Yeah, no, that was a really fucking rad show. I remember going to that concert in Vancouver. I'd never even heard the album, and I went and saw that concert. That was such a fucking rad show. And then he came here the second time,
yeah.
It sucked so bad because I took some time. I'm like, oh, you got to go to the show, guy. I bought tickets and everything. And it sucked, dude. It was a bad show. Because
well, Nine Inch was good.
Well, he did it. No. That was before. No, it was the one I went to with you after that. We sat next to that really bad gay guy who was completely high with scabs on his face going, Manson!
No, didn't go to that. Somebody else.
What?
Yeah. I've only seen Manson once.
Really?
Yeah. That was the first one where he had a big black
is there hum?
Dildo.
Is that?
That's Manson still continuing in the background.
Oh, right. Yeah, he does that. This album is probably one of my favorite albums of all time, actually, this whole one here. And, I wonder why I used Angel with the Scab Wings. Interesting. Anyway.
Because you really
Illuminati, Illuminati news. Everything is under control. Time to go on with the Illuminati news. Like, how about this one here? This one's a good one here, Woody. God, man, you find the best shit, I swear to God. A school is using eye scanning software to keep track of the school lunch fees. Where? Oh, in England. What a shock.
Imagine that.
Those crazy fuckers in England. A new high school said Wednesday students will be charged for their lunches with a retina scanning device to prevent poor children who eat for free from being ridiculed in the cafeteria.
So we don't want that.
Dr. Ed Yates, headmaster of the venerable Bede School, said the advanced eye recognition software will be in place when the institution opens its doors to 900 students in September in Sunderland, Western England. He said the school is concerned that if students are forced to pay for their lunches in cash, the poor ones receive their food for free could be stigmatized, as opposed to their eyes getting stigmatized by fucking lasers.
Uh-huh.
So officials have decided to make the entire school cashless. The retina scanning device will also be used in the library where students can take out and return books. Let me get this fucking straight. You're putting in a library where you're going to do a retina scan when I take a book? What? Yates said he's assured parents of low-intensity life a retina scan will be safe for all students. We think we're the first school in the country to use this. Yeah, because you want to know what happened? You try that shit in the fucking States? But this is not James Bond School for Spies. This is not science fiction. This is technology that exists. In England, you say. What happens to the records, guys? What happens to the records of all these kids' retina scans? I hope you don't get evicted.
We'll just buy those.
Oh, wasn't it just a few months ago that England was talking about creating, like, a huge fucking database? Like, they were doing this stuff in the Homeland Security Act? Before the home, like, America went, ooh, hey, shit, that's a good idea.
Yeah, those British people are way ahead of us. We gotta catch up.
The rant radio cake was really good, by the way. I feel kind of funny now. I feel being big and cake.
You're under my spell.
I feel so tired. I feel so peaceful and skinny. but I don't know. That fucked me up, man. Whenever you see them, I'm sorry. It's wrong to retinal scan children in the library. I'm sorry. Something just makes me go off, you know.
What happened to just...
Yeah.
Putting your name on it and returning it back.
And talk about stretching for a crime.
Yeah.
You sold stuff to the wrong people. A Cupertino. Okay. I don't know where the fuck Cupertino is, but anyway. I got, like, snot going on here. A Cupertino man was arrested Friday and charged with the illegally exported dual-use technology to the People's Republic of China. Because God knows you got to only send single-use things. Like, don't sell those people a hammer.
No. They could kill people.
For the People's Republic of China. And that could be used in missile guidance systems. So Kwai Chang Jang, known as Frank Jang.
Frank, I like Frank better.
Yeah, Frank's better. Appeared in San Jose federal court on charges he sold technology to a company in China that has both commercial and military applications. Well, I'm here to fucking tell you, guy. Just about everything has military applications. The device in question are microwave amplifiers, sometimes used in commercial enterprises, but also employed in the design of missile guidance systems.
Can't GPS be used in missile guidance systems
as
well?
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah, no problem. Yeah, it's an integral part of it, actually. And more than that, how about Motorola? They're putting their fucking chips in landmines.
They're still in business.
They're still going.
They're not going to court.
And that's because they're not Frank Chang.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the UN report says humanitarian disaster is imminent in Iraq if U.S. carries out the war. Yeah, no shit, they'll have bombs up their ass.
Uh-huh.
That's a big humanitarian. But anyway, the story said, compiled by UN planners, the report makes clear that unlike the attack on Iraq in 1991, which describes as relatively short aerial bombardment of infrastructure, towns, and cities.
Relatively short.
Nothing like that. As opposed to the Sisters of Mercy approach, which is a slight case of overbombing. Western powers are now planning potentially large-scale and protracted ground offensives supported by aerial and conventional bombardment. Jesus. Consequently, the potential devastation will be far greater than in 1991. It reports where a majority of the population of the 26.5 million at that time had family members in work and access to cash and material assets. This is no longer the case. Neither does the report consider it make... neither does Rohr consider it valid to make a comparison with the result of the recent war in Afghanistan, where the population is predominantly rural and used to be more self-reliant. In Iraq, people have largely unbanished and under sanction regime imposed for after 1901 have become ever more reliant on the state to meet their basic needs. In paragraph 3, they say this. And some 60% of the population, 16 million, are highly dependent on the monthly food basket from the government. So if you fucking invade Iraq and you start bombing this shit,
yeah.
not that we care. They're brown people, right? I mean, that's the U.S., right? They're bombing brown people. According to George Carlin, I mean, that's their foreign policy. The bigger dick foreign policy, and I was like, they got bigger dicks, bomb them. But that's really what I mean, guys, what are you doing? You know, there's no reason, like, okay, you mean to tell me that in this day and age when everything's all special forces that you can't Tom Clancy this thing over with?
Yeah. No, blanket bombing.
No, carpet bombing. Has anybody here heard about, you know, these special forces teams we have? Go and kill 10 people and leave?
The important 10 people.
You know, just go in there, wax the people you don't want there, and fucking leave. There is no reason
we for think he's in that town.
You know,
take care of it.
Like, seriously, you telling me that the U.S., who spends more money than the other 9 next countries in arms combined, cannot go and fucking drop a hit squad in to sort this shit out?
I think they have the resources, and if they don't, they can buy the resources.
Yes, yes, absolutely. But one thing they can't buy are the UN's weapons inspectors, because they're still pissed off at the UN's weapons inspectors. Tension between Washington and inspectors combing Iraq for weapons of mass destruction deepened yesterday as each accused the other of failure to cooperate in a thinly veiled swipe at Bush administration. Mohamed Esbaradi, the Director General of the International Atomic Energy Authority, dismissed the importance of private interviews with Iraqi scientists. U.S. officials have repeatedly urged Mr. Esbaradi and his United Nations colleagues, Hans Blix, to take Iraqi scientists abroad for interviews without their minders. Well, that's kind of fair, though. I mean, shit, you shouldn't really have these scientists standing there with people watching them speak. But Mr. Obata has told Time magazine, there is almost an obsession with interviews. That's just one aspect of doing inspections, at least in the nuclear area. It should be in the center of our key. He added, anybody who understands inspection understands that it takes time. The Security Council understands this should take something like a year. Well, I mean, I'm all for the wheels of justice grinding, you know, slowly, but sure, about a fuck a year? You know, why don't you just, yeah.
Put more men on it.
Like, if you got, you know, the SS officer standing there and the poor dude in the chair, yeah, did you do this? Looks at the SS officer, yes, I did that. You know, fuck, of course he's going to say that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a no-brainer, but I mean, you know, guys, what the fuck? I don't know what's going on here. And if the Iraq thing wasn't stressful enough with, you know, Bush warmongering and wanting to be the biggest chicken hawk ever, Russia plans to send warships to the Persian Gulf. Russia plans to send warships to the Persian Gulf to protest national interests in Iraq in case of American invasion. So they have national interest in, to protect national interests in Iraq.
Oh.
So Russia has interests in Iraq
that they want to protect.
That they want to protect with their Russian warships.
Hmm.
In the Gulf there. And where the Americans are. The link. Russian Pacific Fleet has been ordered by the Central Command to prepare 2 cruisers and a fuel tanker for immediate deployment to the Gulf. The move will heighten tensions between Moscow and Washington, both interested in Iraq's oil fields. Marshal Shafanovgov and Admiral Jerkmyov cruisers would be called upon to defend Russian national interests in the Gulf conflict between Iraq and the U.S. escalates. The ships, armed with missiles and reconnaissance equipment, have been ordered to be ready for deployment between late this month and early February. Okay, because you know the U.S. will not give a flying fuck about engaging a Russian ship.
They'll just do it?
They'll do it. Oh, fuck yeah, they'll do it. They'll fucking drop a bomb on that. Well, you tell me. Do you want to get in on this, or probably not due to reasons of no, people from Starfleet don't want to talk about it. A little bit too close to that issue. Foreign students, I mean, what do you say to that? I mean, I really can't chase that with much. The Russia's moving in. Great. Right on.
Good,
you know,
stuff.
There's a link. Check it out. That scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, so.
Now, this one here is kind of a funny story. Now, I'm all for privacy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But hear this out. All right, we'll check this out. Foreign students' information must be reported to the INS. Students are now shitting their pants, essentially. Bill Zuberi, a 26-year-old Pakistan studying in Massachusetts Institute of Technology, says there's nothing in his background that should make him fear the U.S. immigration authorities. Even so, he says he has a gnawing anxiety about what will happen when the personal and academic information at MIT submit to Immigration and Naturalization Services. that they submit. They're just upset because they have to do that. Thousands of U.S. colleges and universities must soon begin supplying information about their foreign students to the new online NIS tracking system.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of information that's going to be collected. We don't know how it's going to be used, said Zuberti, who's pursuing a doctorate in chemistry. People are literally afraid that if they don't pay a $5 library fine, they could be deported. Well, don't steal our fucking books.
Stop stealing the books.
You don't get fucking deported. Now, don't get me wrong, but you're a foreigner in this country studying.
Yep.
You don't have any rights to this country. You're not a member of this country.
You're visiting.
You're fucking a visitor. So the fact we let you in the country to fucking study...
Tread lightly, obey our laws.
Yeah. Do you want to try to pull some shit like that in Sweden? Your ass is gone. Okay, you've got like 2 weeks after you graduate school in Sweden to be the fuck out of that country. Okay, because they're like, no, fuck you, okay, this is our country. We're okay, we'll let you come in, we'll let you study.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know if you've noticed there, Bilal, but we just had fucking two great big towers fall down because people with turbans on fucking crashed planes into them and everything went psycho. All right, well, actually, I don't think they had turbans on.
No, we don't know. Didn't get any pictures.
No, they look really straight. But the point is that they did. Yeah. They look like just everyday guys. But the point is, I mean, we're going to be a little bit fucking hyper about that.
Yeah.
So is that wrong? I don't particularly think that's wrong. I don't see a problem with that. If you got people in your country and you know that, you know, terrorists train in your country.
Right.
I mean, I don't think that's really so far over the top. I'm not a proponent. Oh, no, everything should be open. No, guys, there are bad people in the world who are trying to fuck shit up. Okay, you got to be aware of that.
I think that's fine, tracking foreign people in our country.
Yeah.
Like, they're foreign.
But it's an interesting...
They have different things that they believe in.
But it's interesting.
They come here.
It's right? Interesting when you see that. They're like, oh, we deserve the rights. No, you don't deserve any of our fucking rights. You're not a member of this country. I mean, no. I don't expect to be forced to go to...
If you're in China, you go, give me all the rights.
Yeah.
I'm here now.
You don't start screaming, I'm an American. When you're standing in China, that won't go very far.
No.
Okay, you get your ass shot.
Yeah.
Right? But, I mean, it's just like, you better get worldly, asshole. I know you're at MIT and you've never had any exposure to the real world. But in the real world, people fucking get shot when they screw up. Okay? So don't fuck around and everything's fine. I mean... You got nothing, you're not doing nothing, you got nothing to worry about. It's a far cry from getting retinal scanned when you're a citizen of a country. Like, no. If this guy was a citizen of, if he was like a citizen of your own country and the government's like totally down on you like that, that would freak me out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, no. Not cool.
Who do we need to be watching?
And of course, tougher jail times and shit for crackers and hackers. Because just in case, you know, sick and tired of a revolving door of the justice system that has hackers skate with just a few measly years in prison. Or do you think that the courts are already too hard on online miscreants who sometimes go up the creep for longer than many killers? Not that this report is jaded. They're asking for feedback. You have a chance to fight back here, saying either way, the U.S. government wants to hear from you. If you think these hacker laws are bullshit, they want to hear about it. So if you don't say anything, you have no right to say shit. I'm a Canadian. I can't actually comment on this. So everyone in America who knows everybody and everything, check this story out and then respond. Last week, the Presidential Appointed Commission responsible for setting federal sentencing rules formally asked the public's advice on the formula used to sentence hackers and virus writers to prison or probation as part of a review ordered by lawmakers increasingly concerned with computer criminals are getting off easy.
Mm.
Getting off easy. They are not getting off easy.
I'd like to see this formula.
Yeah, I'd like to see this formula. All we really need is looking for people to comment, says Michael O'Neill, a law professor at George Mason? University Law School and a member of United Nations Sentencing Commission, USSC. Do they think we're going to the wrong road? How do they feel about the penalty structure? Well, I think we should low something about that, and I think that people should actually make a comment on that, because that's some scary shit. You know, I mean, that's a chance for you to actually make a difference. So if you want to get involved, you want to check that out.
Yep.
You betcha.
Make your comment now.
Make your comment. Send it in, because if you don't, well, I mean, there's not often you get a chance to get a feedback on people.
And they
actually
usually
want.
Don't give a fuck. They just pass the laws and
they
go.
They really
deal with
don't
it.
Give a fuck. And maybe this is just a big dupe, but what the hell? You know, push with
try
the cock
anyway.
You got. Go. Yeah, why not? Microsoft has settled their suit. Microsoft said Friday they settled a California class action lawsuit up to $1.1 billion, a move that would end the largest suit of its kind against a giant software company. The settlement, which arose from claims Microsoft unlawfully wielded its Windows monopoly to overcharge consumers for their operating system, allows individuals and businesses in California who bought Microsoft products during a 5-year period to apply for vouchers with values of $5 to $29. The vouchers can be used to buy most hardware or software products from any manufacturer. Although the maximum value of the settlement is $1.1 billion, Microsoft could end up paying as much as $367 million in cash to California public schools if all vouchers are claimed. Microsoft pays the maximum. So, if all vouchers are claimed, rather, sorry, Microsoft pays the maximum.
So everyone get out your legal licenses that you purchased
from
Microsoft.
In California, and
go get your vouchers.
And you can get yourself $20 and, you know, go have a coffee. All right. Dell is starting to make cash registers, which I think is funny because a lot of people don't know that Dell uses slave labor and prison labor.
So you're going to enslave you to buy more things.
No, prison labor.
Yes.
And essentially you'll be making, you know, cash registers. Of course, there's such high quality computers, too.
I don't like the prison labor thing.
No, the prison labor thing kind of comes very close state for me.
I don't mind them, like, doing good things, like cleaning things up.
But not working for companies.
But not working for companies
like
to
Dell.
make the lower bottom price better and
No. Dell Computer hopes to bring up new sales with retailers. The company said on Monday at National Retail Federation's Convention Expo in New York, they will enter the market at a retail point of sale equipment with a new line of electronic cash registers. Dell will create its register by bundling one of its Optiplex desktop PCs with equipment such as a touchscreen, barcode scanner, thermal printer, and cash drawer. Prices of these cash machines will start at $1,794, the company said in a statement. So, hack the Dell cash register. You know, that's going to be coming out in the next 2600 meeting for sure. And now it's cool to sue Kazaa. So Kazaa is going to get killed. The courts have said that Kazaa is okay to get shot and pissed on. Los Angeles federal judges has ruled that a company that record, pardon me, Los Angeles federal judge has ruled that record companies, a Los Angeles judge ruled in favor of the record companies?
No.
And movie studios, wow, can proceed with a lawsuit against a patent, against a parent company of Kazaa, the most popular online file swapping service in the United States. In a 46-page decision that became public on Friday, U.S. District Judge Stephen Wilson, who knows fuck all about the Internet, said a lawsuit against Sharman Networks could proceed since Kazaa software has been downloaded and used by millions of Californians.
They should go after like FTP servers next and newsgroup servers and
Sharman
webpage
Networks,
servers.
Sharman Networks headquartered in Australia, and Sharman Networks headquartered in Australia and incorporated in the Pacific Island nation of Vanuatu. The company has filed a motion to dismiss the lawsuit, arguing it was not bound by U.S. law since it does not have substantial contacts with California. Interesting.
Find us.
Yeah, find us. Fuck you. I hope Charmin gets away with it. Don't squeeze the Charmin. No doubt that is where they get their name from. Which is how they
probably
don't squeeze the Charmin. And it seems that, the record company is going to try to squeeze the Charmin, and we all know you don't squeeze the Charmin. That's your Illuminati news. Moving on to Lost World news. There's some interesting stuff happening in the Lost World. I've got, like, this weird kind of stuffed-up head thing going on right now.
Yeah?
Like,
it's the poison I put in the
cake. I don't know. I think it is. If I fall over dead, you'll die very shortly.
I'll do a good impression of your voice.
And kick your ass. Seriously. Lost World knows glaciers are melting and exposing ancient artifacts, but a wog wonders how long until the ice melts back far enough to reveal Mayans or reveal a UFO. Have you ever seen the thing? I've seen the thing. I'm interested in when these things, like, there's a link. World's glaciers are slowly melting as they do. Artifacts from the near and distant past are emerging from the ice.
Woo-hoo.
NPR's Eric Niller reports that a discovery of archaeological treasure during a short Siberian summer in Russia, Zolkov Island, Smithsonian anthropologist William Summerother discovered a 4,000-year-old basket.
All right.
Fucking A!
A basket!
Check this basket out. I was digging through this stuff. Is that the technical term? No shit.
Stuff.
Quote, I was digging down through this stuff. It was literally like banging your hammer on a frozen cement floor, he recalls.
This guy's a professor.
I was out there, you know, I'd smoke some shit and I was smacking a hammer around. When what's-his-face noticed a yellow-colored fire is poking through the frozen dirt. And gradually, by squirting water and melting a little more, I realized it was the top of a basket.
Which I get paid to do this.
And I'm like, no! I got this fucking basket. Put the dog in the fucking basket. And also they found an ancient civilization under a Chinese lake. Oh, what a surprise. There's so many fucking sunken cities. Now,
how did they find these? Do they drain these lakes?
No, they go around and they find them.
Or?
They find them and they use sonars and imaging equipment and shit like that.
All the space age equipment.
Now, where'd all the people go from these fucking sunken cities?
Drown.
Oh, yeah, also they
fish ate them.
You're like, fuck!
Fish ate them, bones and all.
Yeah, but was it just like they woke up one morning and bang, their city's at the bottom of the lake?
Could be. I don't know. Maybe they vacated. Maybe they moved somewhere else.
Okay, all I'm asking for is one plausible answer from you.
Just
one.
I'm giving a lot of them.
No, you're not. They're all bullshit.
They moved.
Yeah, why is there no records
floods
in the city?
Floods, oh my God, floods. Let's get the hell out of here.
Oh, yeah, where's the records? No records. Nobody told their kids about it.
No.
Nobody told their kids about when the whole city fell into the goddamn
mass
lake.
Mass suicide.
It's God's will. No, man. No, man. Who's eating all the fucking chocolate? There's something going on there. I want to know what happened to all these ancient civilizations.
I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe they got eaten.
I think it will be revealed on the show one day if we talk about them enough.
What do you mean?
Somebody will give us the answer. Why all these cities?
No, they don't. That's just
underwater.
There's a Lost World News segment in the show.
Yeah.
Every week I'm discovering more and more civilizations that have been lost.
We need to find one that's been recently drowned and find out where those people went.
I don't know, man. I don't think you're going to find that.
No.
Nope.
What about, like, the southern states where they have, like, mass flooding every year?
There's huge records of that shit, guy.
Yeah.
There's huge records of that shit. Why are these ancient cultures and civilizations?
How old?
What's that?
Well, pretty old, too. That should be within...
All right.
Record
well, actually, a large section of ancient city discovered in Chao Lake in Tongyutang, town of East China's Anhui province. Jeez, why don't I get places with easier names? The relics recovered from lake during the dry season include a broken piece of tube-shaped tiles, and earthen jars.
And baskets?
And covering an area of nearly 16,000 square meters. According to local records, during the Three Kingdoms period, the ancient city of Chaozhou sank without warning one day. Bloop.
Sank.
Just sank
not
without
covered,
warning one day.
Sank.
China's fifth largest freshwater lake came into being at a later date, covering the ancient city. Experts from the local relics administration said that broken tiles and jars reflect the typical state of household items in the Han Dynasty, from Joseph, blah, blah, and support the theory the relics are part of ancient Chaozhou. So,
this
let me get this
sank.
Straight.
This one sank.
Yeah, okay. The whole city one day just fucked off. Ooh, sank.
Big sinkhole. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's a big sinkhole.
That's a big fucking sinkhole.
16,000 square
16
meters.
16 square meters. I don't know, man.
That's a lot.
Sounds like a lot of chocolate. I don't know. There's something going on there. I don't know if I believe in that. No, and there's other weird shit, too. There's other weird shit, too. Like, check this out. Oh, my God. That font is so small.
Are you saying, like, Cthulhu is, like, going,
I'm not saying anything.
Down.
No, I'm not saying anything, dude. I'm just saying that there's something going on here. As I try to hit my shift button.
You can do it.
I can do this.
There you go.
Like, there's something going on here. I don't know what. Like, See, that's the atheist mindset right there. That's what you got there. You got the atheist problem where you've got to have a plausible explanation right now.
It must have
I'm just
an
saying
explanation.
I'm not saying I know. I'm just saying that no one does know. I'm
no,
just saying that there's shit going on here. But there's something more than just, you know, scientific. Ooh, sick. How high do you got to be to believe that? No. Pravda, this is interesting shit here. Check this out. In the Urals and stuff like that, Pravda's got, in this article, they got three different areas, three different locations, which just doesn't fit with science. On February 2nd, 1959, a group of tourists from the Ural Polytechnic Institute set up camp on a mountainside of ominous height, known as the Mountain of the Dead. Like, what only people from the university would do this. In several days, the people were found, later, dead. The reason of this tragedy is not yet investigated. Several versions of their tragic deaths of service were put forward. It was supposed the men could be killed by ball lightning or they died because of fatal effect of some UFO. It was also supposed that tourists were actually in the area where secret tests of vacuum weapons were held.
Vacuum weapons.
Yeah.
Well, they went to a place called Mountain of the Dead. Would you go in a room that says, Room of Deadly Blades That Kill You?
No.
Yes, we will go there into the Room of Deadly Blades That Kill You.
Scientists will. Yeah, but I'm just saying... Okay, well, that's a little bit fucked up. How about the Valley of Death? In Russia's Republic of Yakutia, in the upper valley of Vilya, the mystery of the valley lies in strange metal hemispheres that pursued in some places right past the permafrost.
Metal
legends say that when some brave man risked to spend the night near such an object, he inevitably died for unknown reasons. As we currently understand, such strange deaths resemble deaths caused by radioactive damages.
Mm-hmm.
So you could actually go to this place and you could like see these weird radiation spheres.
Why don't people die in the day?
What?
Why do they always die at night, overnight, sleeping in a haunted house? Why not during the day? What's wrong with the day?
Well, I've actually got an explanation for that.
Okay.
It has to do with how dimensions work.
Are there four of them? Does it work into the time cube thing?
No. You're not.
dimension.
Buy my book. If you buy my book,
it'll all be explained.
It'll all be revealed to you.
It's all been leading up to the book. This whole show.
I think that there's something to do with night. I mean, you're different at night. Things are different at night. You can feel a difference at nighttime. No, there's a difference at nighttime. Like during the daytime, you're one way. Like it's not so hard to believe, right? The moon's in one place.
The moon comes out, pulls the water.
You know, I mean, the tide shift. Everything's all contrary. So there's nothing wrong with thinking that maybe energies are a little different. Maybe you know you're closer to like another plane of existence at night. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe there's something to that. But that's something to address.
Yeah.
It does seem to happen a lot. You don't get to see a lot of that shit during the day. Maybe at night we're conditioned to be more susceptible to it, or we can see it more, or something.
We're
like
weaker
that.
In the night?
No, I don't think so. I don't view that kind of thing as
other things are stronger than in the night.
No, no.
It's one or the other.
No, it's not. See, that's just it. Skepticism breeds madness, man. You got to get past that.
I'm mad.
No, seriously, because if you see a ghost, you're going to go fucking totally off course. You'll be insane in 30 minutes.
Of course, you're ready for it.
No, I'll just be able to go, okay,
a little bit more ready.
There's something more spiritual happening here.
I'd be like looking for the mirror.
You're like,
where's the? No. I'd be looking for the projector.
You'd be looking for projectors
hidden
and
in the ceiling.
And I'm not discounting that. It could be a hoax. Could be a hoax.
Yeah, a lot of it is.
But somebody's eating a lot of fucking chocolate.
Yeah.
I want to know where this fucking chocolate's going. That's all I'm saying here.
I'm
just wondering who's eating all the fucking chocolate. That's all I'm wondering here. And I'll tell you who's not eating a lot of chocolate. The people in fucking Alaska, man. Talk about Lost World. How about this one? Where the fuck are these people going? Check this out. ABC News. Eric Miller knows his brother went to the Chugach, the National Forest, and disappeared. What he doesn't know is whether or not his brother wanted it that way. Alaska's 586,000 square miles afford countless ways to get lost by fate or design, or fall easy prey to the state's unforgiving weather and unforgiving terrain and severe weather, or start a new life in some isolated village. Jim Miller, 39, left his Anchorage home September 27 in the midst of personal problems, including some pending heart surgery. His car was found about 3 weeks later in a parking lot of Resurrection Pass Trail, a popular hiking route in National Forest in South Anchorage. Except for a few unconfirmed sightings, searchers had no leads. Jim Miller vanished as trees lost their leaves, creating ground cover thick enough to hide valuable clues from even the keenest eyes. Nothing panned out, Eric Miller said. What's left now is a feeling we'll never see him again. Miller is about 3,988 people reported missing in Alaska in 2002. 3,988 people went missing in Alaska.
That's a lot.
In 2002. Now, 217 of them remain missing. The other ones were found. But that's pretty misleading. Where the fuck? What?
One out of 200 people, based on this population.
One out of 161 people.
Oh, okay, I didn't even see that.
Goes missing. Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of fucking people, man. That year,
you almost have a 1% chance of going missing each year.
Yeah, that's like roll the dice.
Roll this 100-sided die. Oh, sorry.
You know,
you got the 100.
The national average in any other state is 1 out of 343 people, so it's like three times.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, but like, yeah, that is pretty bad. 1 out of 343 people go missing every year?
How many is that in the states?
Oh, that's a lot.
That's missing. That's not dead. That's not, like, found. That's missing.
That's gone. Just vapes. More than enough to consecrate the diet of some creature.
Or
creatures.
Band of them. Pack of them.
Or maybe it's just things that come through the silver sky, man. You got to look at it that way.
At night.
No. Think about it this way. No. Hear me out.
Okay.
We're fish, let's say. Okay, we're a couple of trout.
Yeah.
Swim along. Okay, swim along. Flip-a. And we're all sitting there, and we're talking to Murray. And Murray's there. We're all there. And we're, you know, just hanging out. And all of a sudden, through the silver sky there, which of course is the surface of the water, these big fucking claws come through the silver sky and they grab Murray. And Murray fucks off and he's through the silver sky. And we're like, holy shit!
Where's Murray?
Where the fuck did Murray go? And we swim like, fuck. We go down and we hide in the seaweed. We don't come out for a couple days.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, the police fish show up and they're like, hey, we understand you were last people to see Murray. And we're like, we don't want to talk about it. And we're like, no, you have to talk about it because you're a suspect. And we're like, fuck, no, it's not us. No, okay. And then, well, he said you did it. No, he didn't. He knows what happened to you. Tell us, damn you, tell us. And then you tell. You say, we were there, and there was, we were just by the silver sky, and these fucking claws came down and took them.
Police fish are like, yeah.
And they're like, well, everybody knows there's nothing past the silver sky.
That's right.
And that's exactly what our society's like. Same thing. Everybody knows. There's just maybe something came out of a wall and took them. Who knows? There's just something that we don't have there. But it's entirely possible something could be preying on these people.
Sometimes at night, I hear Murray flipping around in the water.
Okay. You're just a fuck, man. You're just a total fuck. I hate that. It's totally logical, though. You just have to see that. Your mind veil is firmly in place. There's Sim.
Oh, yeah.
Sim's got the huge mind veil. Huge. Get your tinfoil hat on.
I can't even see through it. Yep.
Special report was sent to us from a panther.
Special report.
A panther, which is cool. I like these. I was talking to Holy Hand Grenade today. He asked me, when are you going to send the Sean that shit? To which I asked, well, what shit? He told me about listening to the show at the very end of Monday's show, which I did. Ah, the Concrete City shit. Well, here it is. Most of the info is from a plaque at the local four-wheel group put up on the stairway going to the mansion entrance. So not so much a city. The Gold King Mining Establishment was put up near Kingman, AZ, Arizona, just before the Great Depression in the late 20s. They expect to draw some retarded, unprecedented amount of gold out of the dirt, and so there's a lot of investors who put up this big, pretentious establishment with paved streets, poured concrete mansion, poured concrete outbuildings, the works. Shortly before the Depression hit 1929, they hardly mined any of the fucking gold they expected, and they expected millions of dollars in 1920s terms. What was that?
You'll see it after.
Millions of dollars in 1920 terms and hardly a few thousand dollars worth. Apparently, they couldn't keep employees because their accidents kept happening in the mine. And the miners kept spreading rumors of freaky, ghostly voices and happenings going on down there.
They're just lazy and didn't want to work.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, here we are in Arizona, which is not known at all for anything mystical. And
No. We're
digging deeper and deeper into the forbidden earth, and we're hearing voices and stuff. You know?
Yeah, they're just lazy. During the Depression, a lot of lazy people.
A lot of lazy people
in the Depression.
Around.
You betcha. You're going to go.
You are
going to be in a rubber room before you're 40. They didn't have long to worry, though, because the Depression struck and the nation of mine closed the stores for financial reasons. Now there isn't a whole lot left. The mansion is largely intact, but has clearly survived at least one major fire due to being concrete. Unfortunately, the non-concrete parts are fucked. The mill and most of its outbuildings and crew living quarters have been fucked for a long time due to rock slide that took out most of them some 40-plus years ago. Oh, really? Gee, they heard voices in the ground, then they evacuate the town, and the whole thing gets wiped out by a rock slide, which incidentally comes from the mountain.
Yeah.
I heard voices, and miners were dying and going missing, and all of a sudden there's a rock slide that takes out this fucking town?
It's good they warned them.
No, man.
Leave.
No, they're not saying leave, man. Maybe something woke up. I don't know. Just a thought.
Could be.
Something going on. The mine shaft itself looks to be intact, but it's got a vertical entrance of 80 feet in which winch cables weren't long enough to get one of us safely down to the mine because we couldn't get within 60 feet of the entrance of itself without a truck. Here is the BLM link with some information on the site. So,
very, very cool pictures.
Is it?
Yep.
Cool. Well, though I originally read about it in Wells' guidebook for 4x4 trails and only found out about the paranormal musings once we were actually on the site and read the placard. Here are a couple shots I took from there. And though the only ghostly apparition I saw was my camera strap hanging in front of the lens, can you tell I'm an amateur? So he's got some photos here which we're going to put up. So he took when he was there. Interestingly, on the roof of the mansion, there's a big spray-painted graffiti mural with a picture of a cartoon-style black spherical bomb and the statement, "The end is near," in large block letters. If I had to guess, it was painted more than 10 but less than 20 years ago. Another place there, about 40 miles north-northwest, called Chloride, no shit, Arizona, was heavily covered by glyphs by early Native Americans. Now, I'd like to check this place out. But strangely enough, instead of being the type of glyphs that are commonly in early Navajo people, they're more reminiscent of the central Mexican native artwork. Although it is said to be a big hotspot for spiritual energy, hippie types call it a vortex, too much like all of the vortex supposedly in President Sedona. To honor their hippie beliefs, they added the native glyphs, the big-ass glyphs of the Rome, which are now lots of fun to look at. And they got pictures of these glyphs, which I'm going to actually click on these glyphs because I want to see this shit. So there are more scattered... did that go? Oh, no, it's trying to go there. There are more scattered about the area. They're great fun to look at, but no others as big as the ones in these pictures. Neither of those very appealing for me from a paranormal investigation standpoint. Both lots of fun to visit in a 4x4. Neither location is friendly to cars, and the Gold King Mansion is definitely impossible for any ordinary passenger car to get to. There are a few dozen spiritual paranormal places around Arizona that probably warrant further investigation by someone open-minded than myself. And then it goes on about the Sedona vortexes or whatever. But wow, shit.
Pretty
those
amazing.
Are big-ass glyphs, man. That's fucking wild. Wow, that's really cool. Sorry. Where are we at here? Oh, geez, I'm in the IRC. A few other... same tombstone. Okay, but there's one Arizona... paranormal location that intrigues me more than all the others combined. It's the Lost City of the Dead in the Grand Canyon. I assume it has to be an exaggeration of a straight myth, but it'd be really cool if it did exist. I've done a fair amount of hiking canyon, and there's enough pre-Whitey history in there of little bits and pieces just made me believe that some real gems that general public fucks just don't even have a clue about.
You've talked about that before.
No, I've talked about shit in the Grand Canyon, but not this. I've never heard of this. Here's a page which seems to be trying to keep the BS level down, but some info on the Lost City in case you're interested. The Lost City of the Dead in the Grand Canyon. Very fucking cool.
They got maps. Ooh, that's a mountain.
That's a Temple of Isis, which I've talked about before, which looks an awful lot like a pyramid.
Yeah, Isis Temple. Yeah.
Very, very cool. Very, very cool. I hope that helps. Please let me know if you want any further information. Yeah, I want to know about this Grand Canyon shit. I didn't know about a Lost City of the Dead. I'm not really into paranormal stuff, so I do keep my feelers out. Generally don't pay attention to what's being discussed, but I'm happy to visit the library and or ask people questions or ask me questions I cannot answer. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I really want to know about this Lost City of the Dead. Because you know what? It's a cheap flight to Vegas, and from Vegas, it's a hop, skip, and a jump over to the fucking Grand Canyon.
Oh, yeah.
And I will go there. If I think I've got a beat on a Lost City of the Dead, I mean, how tight is that? Where's Sean?
That'd be sweet.
He's going to go and take the video cameras, and we're going to see if we can find the Lost fucking City of the Dead.
Bring some lights.
You betcha, bitch. We ain't bringing no lights because the Blackhawk chopper's down there.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We'll go IR.
Shadow Orc. And we got a really cool thing from Tilly. This is another email I got sent in. This is cool because I've never heard about this, and neither has anyone else, which is kind of neat.
No, oh,
because
okay.
She's like a local. This is a village near where I live in southeastern Wisconsin that has a small lake with strange man-made structures at the bottom of the lake. I keep hearing all this stuff about sunken cities on your show, and while this may not be a whole city, it's certainly beyond the known technology of the native peoples from this area. It's not often talked about, even in this area. I've never heard mention of it when I was in school. I was just wondering why a park in the area is called Aztalan. Okay, well, a parking lot was called Aztalan one day, and it led me to this site. It talks about the iron mining industry that happened to happen before there was any known settlement of Europeans on this continent. About the iron ore mining industry that happened before there was any... Okay, that didn't make sense. But anyway, many other interesting ideas and pictures. Anyways, hope this is interesting to someone out there. Rock Lake Research. Very cool. Very, very cool. That's the kind of shit that I really enjoy, that kind of stuff, eh? That's neat when people can send that in and we can find... Oh, wow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Buddy's actually been looking for this lost city in the Grand Canyon, which I'd be tight to know.
That's sweet.
That means we got a contact on the ground out there. In cryptozoological news, we've got another report of the abominable snowman. There's lots of these guys, man. I don't know if they're good or not. I don't know if they're good or not. My jury's still out on the snowman.
Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah, was it a visitation of the abominable snowman, so-called Yeti by some? Villagers of Jammu and Kashmir Village are sure it was. At least 20-year-old Raja Wazim is no doubt it was a snowman that attacked him. Attacked him. Interesting.
Attacked.
Fondly called Raju by his parents, the young man came out of his uncle's home to feed the cattle at the cow shed. Just hanging out, do-do-de-do, being all Tibetan, feeding cows. He heard a strange noise from among the greens in the lawn of his house. When he turned around, there stood a 4-foot-tall monster.
4-foot monster. Those don't.
Aren't you short? He had little Yeti syndrome, covered with dense dark fur and black hair all over, looking menacingly at the youth. He's looking.
Menacing
Mommy, the hairy guy's looking at me, claims Raju. There's no mistake about what I saw. The monster had a face of a man and monkey-like features, about 4 feet tall, but extremely sturdy. It was a snowman. It pounced on me, and I jumped up back on the veranda, shouting for help. My uncle and family rushed to the rescue, and the monster lazily walked away. It's fucking lazy, too. He was hardly frightened by the commotion. Muhammad Shafi, Fort Raju's uncle, confirmed the encounter. After initial appearance of burnt fires to scare the visitor, and he rushed out of the hedges and crossed the other side of an oak apple orchard. Interesting. Now, it's funny, but they killed monkeys. There's a very famous photo of a monkey in that region.
Okay. And what's a monkey doing?
What's that?
Oh, that monkey. Monkey man.
Yeah, but you know the one who's sitting there and they got his head propped up and he's shot dead?
Oh, okay.
But I bet you, and he was about 4 feet tall, so I don't think it was a Yeti, but I think it might have been one of these creatures.
Hairy monkeys?
Well, it's a monkey of some type. Yeah. Some type ape, which kind of puts it in crypto. I mean, you should like that. You like monkeys. You believe in monkeys. You've seen monkeys.
Monkeys are real.
Monkeys are okay. You're okay with the monkey thing.
Oh, yeah.
You may not be okay with Bolam's Beast. Apparently, Bolam's Beast hunt is casting. Go get them, boys. I think it's a good thing. Yeti hunters are heading northeast to discover if the Beast of Bolam, fucking tight,
Beast of Bolam Lake is real or fake.
Jonathan Downs, director of Center of Fortean Zoology, will lead a team of who will carry out the investigation in North Cumberland Country Park. The Chronicle reported on Monday how anglers came across a strange figure in the woods at the end of a late-night outing. They described it 8 feet tall with glowing eyes. Glowing eyes.
Glowing eyes.
Since the explanation of what the star have ranged from Bigfoot to a monk from a nearby Buddhist monastery on a late night stroll in the woods, Mr. Johnson says, I'm very wary about this one. I would like it to be true, but I have a sinking suspicion that we could have a practical joker in a monkey suit. But my job is to discover the truth, and turns out to be the truth is prosaic, and there's no mystery at all, then we have done our job. Which is kind of a sad thing. It'd be like, you know,
we tried, but we found nothing. We found a monk.
You know what they're finding in Africa though?
What's that?
Vampires.
More vampires.
Vampire panic is escalating. You betcha. Hundreds of angry Malawians. Remember Malawian? They had that vampire cult that was on the go?
Right, yeah.
Malawians hounded a senior political figure in the house and stoned him late Wednesday, accusing him of harboring vampires. Oh, I'm not harboring vampires. No, the rest of my country's turning to shit, and my whole world is dying, but I'm doing well, but I'm not harboring vampires, because if I was a vampire, I wouldn't want to live in Africa. No, because there was no way that, you know, I could hide effectively in a third world nation like that and have lots of people to feed on where they wouldn't notice. Yeah. No, that wouldn't be a prime location for a vampire.
People go missing all the time in Africa.
You betcha. Blantyre Urban Government Eric Chua, a member of the ruling United Democratic Front, was the latest victim of a bizarre rumor that the country's government is colluding with vampires to collect human blood for international aid agencies. Bearing severe cuts to his face and body, he told Reuters from his hospital bed that a crowd had hailed him with stones and other missiles, chanting vampire and threatening to kill him. Chua said he had known some of the assailants, adding the political opponents were trying to discredit him from the government. I don't know, like, yeah, okay, that could be a political thing.
Could be
a political
thing. Hard to say from this.
Could be a political thing, it could be something else.
Witch!
But witch is a lot different than screaming vampire.
Very. That's pretty specific.
It is. More than that, it's like, well, you know, there'd be a lot of opportunity. Like, if you were a vampire, say,
yeah,
from the other side of the fence, if you were a vampire, that would be a pretty tight place to go, because you could feed and all you want. No one will give a fuck. People go missing all the time. Who cares? Maybe that's what vampires do, because there's the vampire myth is old, way back, eh?
They wouldn't eat the people. Like, where's their bodies?
Well, you gotta understand, what is the vampire? Vampire is just, you know, some faggot that talks who walks around and, you know, starts, you know, drinking blood and shit.
Yeah.
That's not what they do, okay? There's more to it than that. I mean, vampires are like, they're, like, you do some research on the vampire lore, and it's really quite something. Like, it goes way back. I'm gonna do a show on vampires. I've been amassing news stories about vampires, because there's a lot of them.
Very, very cool.
A lot more than you think.
Yeah?
So I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of shit that goes
on. You've been doing it here and there, but nothing...
I usually bring them in because, I've got about a 10-12 stories. Yeah,
wow.
I'm going to be doing a special on that. So, but anyway, I got a really interesting here. Now, this should be probably in, you know, Illuminati news, because, you know, I'm talking about secret organizations and stuff like that. But you're talking about the Freemasons. Everybody knows Freemasons.
Yep.
Freemasons, guys with the eye on the pyramid. Everybody knows about these guys, okay? And everybody knows they're connected to the Knights of Templar. But how does that work? How is the Knights Templar get over to the Freemasons? Like, how does that work? So there's 12 easy steps.
12.
12 easy. The 12 easy Knights Templar to Freemasons and 12 easy steps. The original Knights Templar, it's like this. Step 1. 9 knights are organized by a mysterious group of ruling nobility, the Champagne region of France, and sent to Jerusalem in 1118, which has been recently conquered during the First Crusade. Okay, the 9 original knights pledge themselves to secrecy, commit their lives and fortunes to their work. They petition King Baldwin I of Jerusalem that they will provide protection for pilgrims traveling across dangerous area from the Holy Land ports inland to Jerusalem and other pilgrimage sites. But there's no indication that they ever took such efforts. They're like, yeah, we're here to, you know, protect everything and look after your shit. That's our cover. So that's what the Knights Templar are about.
Okay.
Now, step 2. After excavating beneath Solomon's Temple in secret for 9 years, so they go to where Solomon's Temple was and they start excavating. The Templar Grand Master returns here, possibly with excavated documents and other secrets not yet seen for thousands of years. The Templars are officially established by the order of the Pope. So these knights get sent in as covert ops, and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, you're here to protect people. But
right.
No one knows that you're actually, you know, raping the country for their spiritual significance.
Secretly, yeah.
You betcha. With special dispensations allow the charging of interest on loans and rare exclusion of paying taxes to the church. Within 3 years, Grand Master returns to the Holy Land with 300 knights and a huge war chest of fundage. Wow, what a surprise. For 200 years, the Templars grow into the most powerful military order of the day, far surpassing the rivals and precedents. The Knights Hospitaller, that's their competition, which they fucking totally kick ass on. Money in the lands flow to the order's coffers from new recruits who nearly always donate their entire estates on being accepted to the order. They must leave behind all contact with women wearing white lambskin undergarment day and night to signify their chastity. Their clerics cover their hands at all times with white gloves to keep them pure from serving mass.
Okay, so it's like, whatever. Okay, so they're hardcore cultists here, okay, at this stage. In 1307, step four, French King Philip the Fair decides to bring down the Templars. And, of course, the French, gotta love them. Fueled by greed for the Templars' vast treasure, which, of course, you know, they're war spoils, so the fucking guy's loaded, right? So they're like, well, damn, we gotta get some of this shit. Plus, bear in mind, he's got all these extra treasures that he's turned over to the Pope, which they still got in the basement of the Vatican, protected by Swiss guards. Who you don't want to fuck with, don't try to sneak into the Vatican. Bad idea. His own debts to the order and festering resentment for being denied acceptance to the Templars. Because they tried to get in, they said no. So he's like, fuck you, I'll destroy you then. What does that remind me of? I can't remember. With the help of his puppet pope, Clement V, he has the entire order in France, some 15,000 knights arrested on the morning of October 13th. That's where Friday the 13th comes from. It's because of when... That's cool, I didn't know that.
Bad luck being a knight that day.
Yeah, so, and they arrested all these knights. The secret leaks out beforehand, and many flee. Though the Grand Master in Paris refuses to leave, orders his brethren to stay and face the false charges, however, Templar treasure disappears, never to be seen again. So, this is one of the things that they think happened to the treasure of the Knights of Templar. Everyone's looking for it.
Okay.
Oh, what happened to that treasure? Some people say it got stuffed in Glastonbury Tor, because there's tunnels underneath Glastonbury Tor.
Okay.
And that's like a big fucking Templar place, right? Step 5. Other countries take less strong actions against the Templars. Well, no shit. They're also fucking pretty badass. In Germany, no Templars are arrested at all, and the order transforms itself into the Teutonic Knights in Spain and become the Knights of Christ. In England, King Edward II delayed his taking action for 2 years, but upon constant prodding by the local ex-classies, he relents in 1309 and orders the Templars rounded up. Not surprising, only two Templars are arrested in the entire country despite massive holdings, which now revert to the Hospitaller ownership. So the Templars just went, no, fuck this. We're going to jump ship and just change our name so you can't nail us, right? All right. In 1314, Edward II, step 6. In 1314, Edward II decides to invade Scotland and cease the incessant border skirmishes that plagued his country once for all. He meets recently retrained and rearmed Scots for the Battle of Bannockburn, which surprisingly charged by hidden forces... When a surprising charge by hidden forces from the Scottish rears and turns tide of victories and maintains Scottish independence for the next 300 fucking years. So they're saying here that, Edward II decides he's going to go fuck Scotland, and All of a sudden, oh, look, this secret force showed up and beat the shit out of the British, maintaining Scotland. There's a lot of strongholds in Scotland, okay? That whole region is really, really tight, so there's a lot of treasure and shit like that in there.
Oh, yeah.
So that kind of works. The Templars are still, doing their thing. And then in step 7, in 1381, the Prince of Revolt under Wieland the Tyler strikes England. So I guess whoever this Wayland the Tyler, I guess Tyler's kind of a weird fucking name there, strikes England. Rebellion is a reaction to the oppressive taxing of young kings and ministers, but also falls equally hard on the Catholic Church, especially the holding of the Hospitallers. So this dude's taxing the fucking people, and the Knights Templar go, no, fuck you. So what they do is they do, this is all like shit they did in Vietnam. This is what Magni Sog was, all this stuff. This is all good political shit. What, you're going to fuck with us? So now you've got the secret muscle going around doing Knight Special Forces. That's exactly what these guys were doing. Okay. Significantly, some of the older churches built by the Templars are spared, including the oldest Templar church in London. The well-led mob actually pulls documents from the depths as the Templar burns in the streets, but spares the church. Also, the term Tyler is the name of the official, is the name of the office holder at Masonic meetings who is guarding the door. And because in a Masonic meeting, you've got a guy at the front of the door and a guy on the inside outside of the door when they have their secret meetings. I know, I was a couple, yeah. And that guy's called the Tyler, which is all, this all leads back to this deep, steep, esteemed heritage. They're pretty boring, a bunch of old people. It's very cultish, very strange. During the mid to late 15th century, step 8, the oldest existent records of Scottish and York Masonic meetings began to appear. Written documents that prove Masons were being raised at a very early time period. So, that's interesting. So, these Masons were using, this as a kind of a cover for that. Then, throughout the 16th and 17th centuries, unconventional thought and breakthrough scientific ideas were discussed in private and met in heavy resistance whenever they were voiced aloud. Thus, the Invisible College in England meets to discuss revolutionary ideas which could have them banned or executed. Some early Masonic masters are among its honored members, such as Sir Isaac Newton, Sir Francis Bacon, and Sir Christopher Wren. Incidentally, go look at a picture of Sir Francis Bacon and then go look at a picture of fucking William Shakespeare. That's an interesting thing. Yeah. Yeah, they look pretty similar. Like, really fucking similar.
Wow. And around the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Alive.
Yeah. William Shakespeare and Sir Francis Bacon were really similar. You'll get a chance.
It's a pen name, then.
Yeah, no, you just want to look at the book, a big book. It's on eBay right now, and called The Secret Teachings of All Ages.
Okay.
Yeah, they talk about that a little bit.
Cool.
That's a Masonic text. I have no one to copy. In the year 1717, when the four previously inconsequential lodges in London unite and declare themselves as the first open, supposedly oldest lodge in Freemasonry, since the chances of any future Scottish king changing the state religion to Roman Catholicism now seems impossible, this small portion of Freemasonry that has been accused of supporting Jacobite ambition now comes forward and declares its lord to the king and country. Okay, and even to this day, if you go into a fucking Masonic lodge, they don't claim that they're, they don't even claim they worship God. They say that there's the great architect.
Okay.
Yeah, which is kind of, that kind of set off some...
Great architect.
Yeah, that kind of made me, you know, kind of dumbstore, because like, you know, well, what's that? No, it's the great architect. No, fuck you, okay? Give it a name, all right? You have any, the guy at the door is called Tyler, okay? What the fuck is this? No, it's the great architect. Suck my cock. Okay, don't give me that
building
shit.
Building a plan for us all.
Yeah, I just gave, your plan is there. Yeah, whatever, ruler boy. Get the fuck back. I got this flamethrower here. Step 11, the British and American forces fight together throughout the early 1700s. Freemason field lodges are part of a nearly every British regiment in the New World. Many Americans get their first taste of Masonic ideas of freedom and brotherhood in these lodges, which are not chartered by the London Grand Lodge, but mostly through the Irish and the Scottish Lodge, which brings us to the Scottish Rite and all this kind of thing, which had strong influences in the British Army while it was stationed in Ireland late 1600s and early 1700s. Then step 12, after England and America settle their differences, modern Freemasonry slowly evolves into a semi-public organization with all of its secret initiation ceremonies printed, published, and widely discussed. And that is how, so everybody's talking about the Knights of Templar, how it turned into the... turned over to the Masons. That's how it happened. And all this is coming from a book, but you can feel free to check some of this, because you got to understand, because once you begin to see that, you start understanding who the Scottish Rite are and stuff like that. There's a link. You can check it out. And then I just gave you kind of the real basic steps there. And very, very interesting stuff when you start looking at that, you know. Now, this leads me to another problem. Masons, I don't think, are the problem. I think that there is a dark chapter that may exist within the Masons. I think that there are problems there, but that problem is not intrinsic to Masons themselves. I don't think the Masons are inherently evil.
Okay. Yep. They're just misled.
But, like I said before, here's that link, by the way. The U.S. will soon outspend the top 9 armed countries in the world combined. Okay. That's on this site.
Yeah.
Okay. Which makes me kind of wonder, who the fuck are we afraid of?
Yeah.
Why are we amassing this huge army?
The top 10 countries are going to fight us.
No, I mean that's not even realistic. So now, have you ever seen UFO?
Nope.
You've never seen UFO.
Well, I've seen things in the sky that I can't explain.
Well, that's UFO.
There you go.
Okay, so I'm not saying I'm asking.
Look
if you've seen
light.
A flying saucer.
Yeah.
I just said, have you seen something in the sky that you didn't think was a plane that you didn't know what it was?
Yes.
Okay, that's all. You haven't. You're still safe. Okay. Still safe.
Still in my box. I'm okay.
You're still in your box. You're okay. Okay, now we're not saying that you believe in abductions, but you've heard of abductions. You've heard people claiming.
Many.
You've heard of many people.
Slack-jawed yokels.
Slack-jawed yokels. And more than that, there's a lot of people who claim all over the world that they've been abducted by aliens. Okay, now, we're not saying that we agree. I've got my views, you've got yours. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. But would you say, from the reports you've read...
Yeah.
That these abductions were pleasant?
Not usually, no.
No, they're
a couple.
Pretty predominantly negative, though.
The Real guy.
Yeah.
He liked his abduction.
Yeah, he also thinks he's got an antenna on the back of his head.
Very true, yeah.
Yeah. But largely negative.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So, let me get this straight. These little bug-eyed fuckers come down here, okay? They're cutting up our cows. You like cows. It's going to piss you off. Okay, you like cows.
In a certain way, I suppose.
Yeah, but you like them.
Sure.
You're not into me cutting up cows.
You hate them.
You can't really be into these, you know, these sausage jockeys coming down here and cutting up our cows.
That's our job, damn it.
That is our job. This is my cow.
That's right.
I don't want my fucking house to start fucking raping my pets.
Yeah.
What the fuck, guy? You know, that's a little... So my question is, if there's all this negative press about these aliens, why are they portrayed so nicely...
by all these corporations. Like, you ever look, you see, like, the elves, they're smoking weed, or they're all in your car.
Oh,
they're nice and friendly.
The commercialization of aliens.
Yeah, they're so friendly. They're everywhere. They're,
the cute little grays.
The little insect fucking grays. Look at them. Isn't that so nice? Then you have Scientology comes along, and they're all like, oh, aliens are okay.
They're our
we're
friends.
Okay.
They're here to rescue
we're
us.
Not traitors to the human race. No. No, we're just into the grays, you know. We just think it's okay, even though all the reports have shown that the grays have been cutting people up, man. Like, I think that there comes a time when we have to stand back. There comes a time when you have to stand back and go, wait a minute, hang on. Hang on now, hang on now. Everything in the universe is based upon conflict. Everything in the universe is based upon consumption.
Yep.
Fire burns up air, takes the air, takes it away.
Yeah.
Okay, there's something going on. There's something going on, man. Like, you're sitting there, and even if you don't believe in it, okay, even if you say, okay, well, whatever, but there's something. Why would they be trying to convey these aliens in a positive way when it's clearly stated that they're not positive? They rape people. They're space rapists. Okay? You get these things coming down here. Okay, they're wrecking stuff. They're making these weird symbols in fields.
Yeah.
God knows what they're using these symbols for. Maybe they're landing patterns. Maybe they're signs. I don't know. I haven't seen the film. Fire in the sky. That guy didn't have a good time. Wrecks their lives.
Tagging things.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Is that what it is? Is it tags? Is it, you know, kind of looking at prospective areas, trying to find different locations, mapping out the planet? I don't know. Recce marks. Who knows? Who knows? I don't know. But there's something going on there. And I'm just thinking that how long do we have to have people being taken from their cars? How long do we have to have women being taken in their beds? How long are we going to allow these little grayback stick bastards to come into our world and kick our ass?
Well, it's alien propaganda is what is going on right
That's
now.
That's right. It's part of the alien problem. You see, the alien, you see, he's like all these conflicts, you know, in the Middle East. Oh, no, you believe in this God, and you believe in this God, and you believe in this God, you know. And they know what's going to happen because they know we're warlike.
Yeah.
They know we're warlike. If we were ever a lie, the greatest trick the devil ever did was convince the world that he didn't exist.
That's right, yeah.
So what if we're looking at the wrong devil? Maybe we need to stop all this shit in the Middle East and go, wait a minute, hang on. You know what, Abdul?
It's a bunch of distraction.
Yeah, I think that is a distraction, man. I think there's a lot of shit going on here. You're like, oh, well, the angels came down on these chariots of fire, you know, and told me that I had to kill you because, well, that's what they said. No, 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 no,
who's the angels?
Who's the angels here, guy? Who's giving you these orders? You know, you gotta. And now as we get more advanced, we need to become aware. We need to become aware of the alien problem and the propaganda they are spreading. That's all I'm saying here. And I'm more and more I get into these guys like Clone Aid, the Raelians, which are human race traitors who want to hand over our whole planet to a bunch of these little stick motherfuckers. You know, I mean. We were sitting back, and now people are listening to this going, well, you know what? Yeah, Sean's fucked up. But he's kind of got a point there, you know? I mean, these little gray guys, I mean, if you ever saw any of these things, you know, they don't have a skull. They don't got a human skull. They're not human. That's what matters. Mm-hmm. It's what's inside the head, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about. I think I'm going to talk about this a little bit more in the next little while.
Well,
I think that we need to...
trying to pacify us.
I think that the wogs need to be aware. Do we have any Spock handy? All ETs aren't nice.
Dr. McCoy, but I could.
You can see if we can get that. Maybe we'll play that at the end. Maybe we'll play that at after the show's over, between that and the new interview, because we got that interview that's going to be playing.
Right.
If anyone wants to stick around. But I don't know, man. I don't know. And I've been thinking about this, you know. It's one of those things that made me go, who's eating all the fucking chocolate, all right? I want to know. Because why are aliens portrayed as positive? I mean, you can say, well, I don't believe in it, you know, whatever. Well, that's great. But I want to know why they're portrayed positively. It's very, very odd. Very, very odd. Oh, yeah, United States, you know. And I personally believe that the government of the United States is not to blame. Okay, I think there's a shadow organization which is operating, which is probably being run through either some kind of outworld contact. I think that's something that we need to know. It's not so fantastic. They've got remote viewers. They've got mind control. They got the fucking Aurora Project. Where is this technology coming from?
Yeah.
You know, we need to stop focusing so hard on killing each other and start thinking about Roswell, man. Shoot him down and cut him up. That's what I think. I think we need to be really aware of these things.
We're unprepared.
The Art Bell crowd can go, oh, well, you know, they're going to come down and talk to us. Fuck you, guys. They've been coming down for a long time and raping the cows. Okay? You want to bow down to a bunch of bug-eyed, nipple-stealing fucks, you go right ahead.
Need more proof?
You
right?
What is it that you need?
What are you waiting for, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, at what point do you think these motherfuckers are warlike? You know, I'm sorry. They don't want to get into a ground war with us. There's no fucking way.
Well,
I made the joke when I was talking to the Raelians.
Okay, but they don't want to get into a ground war with us. There's no fucking way. I'll take out six or seven of those little great bastards myself. Wouldn't be a fucking problem. Oh, yeah, you better use that beam to pin my ass in a bed. Oh, mind the dog! You know, seriously. All right, Range would be fucking them guys up wholesale. But no, no, no. No, interesting. I wonder if they're tied in with breed-specific legislation. But anyway, it's an interesting thing where you got to sit back and you got to go, okay, there's some fucked up shit going on here. There's some fucked up shit going on here where people like the Raelians that, which are really, let's just call it what it is. They're trying to, they even say openly in their doctrine that they want to hand the whole planet over to aliens because they're more advanced than us. I don't give a fuck who they are. I'm not calling no fucking little bug-eyed fuck master. No way, guy. It's not going to happen. You're not going to just dominate my world because you bullshit me into it. You can sell that bill of goods to someone else, ass clown. Sorry, not going to happen. And as even still, a clone aid, the Raelians, a bunch of fucking human race traitors, summoned to court to approve their unproven clone. Here's a link for it. But a foreign attorney subpoenaed one of the vice presidents of clone aid on Saturday, ordering him to testify in court. The attorney is seeking the guardian of the baby cloning... Attorney seeking a guardian for the baby, the cloning organization claimed to be the first clone human. The subpoena from the Florida attorney Bernard Siegel orders clone aid executive Thomas Kernzig to appear in civil proceeding on January 22nd. Siegel and his office delivered two summonses to Kernzig and Jane Doe, the child's alleged mother. The summons asked clone aid to divulge the whereabouts of the still unverified baby and mother. So, where the fuck is this baby? Where the fuck is this mother? That's what I just want to know. Maybe, what if on the long shot, what if on the far side out here?
Yeah.
Because, okay, now, we're all laughing at the Raelians, right? We're all having a good time. I had a great time laughing at the Raelians. Okay. I picking on them and stuff like that, and I thought they were harmless, you know what I mean? Have you actually listened to what the guy's fucking story is?
No. Yeah,
I got
he wants to prepare us for the aliens to come back.
Yeah, exactly, but I got picked up by his spaceship and taken to
the world. Oh, his story.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Now, you'd have to be pretty high to believe that. I mean, you'd have to be really high to believe that.
Oh, yeah. Why'd they pick him, eh?
No, well, not only that, but why are people buying it? I mean, people aren't stupid.
Because it's so outrageous.
So they buy it?
Yeah.
No, guy, that doesn't work. No, guy, that doesn't work that way.
If
that
was the case,
I could say, oh, look at me, I'm God. And 5 years later, I'm going to be rolling in cash? No. This fucking IRC here would sort me out. No, 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 no. There's something else going on there. What if, not saying he's got contact, what if that motherfucker actually does have something going on? You know, I'm not saying he's in league with aliens. Well, maybe I am saying he's in league with aliens, but he's definitely got a lot of followers.
Yeah.
And not that many people are going to follow you unless you show them something.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. Maybe it's free sex. I don't know. He married a 16-year-old girl when he was 45.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Motivation.
I don't know. It's pretty fucked up. I just want to know who's eating all the fucking chocolate. That's all I'm saying here. You know, there's definitely some fucked up shit going on there. I don't know. From the Kit Corner, Smokey sent me a thing that's just begging to be changed into a wearable PC. This is very fucking nice. It's a motherboard just slightly bigger, which is an all-in-one component motherboard, slightly bigger than a CD. Very sexy.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Very nice. This isn't a PC-104 board, too. It's very, very cool. The high-end model for the complete board is like $200.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, it's very...
Wow, that's really small.
It's very nice. Yeah, I like it a lot. So with the VIA chipset, and wham, there it is, eh? Onboard sound, you got your USB there. You got a NIC card, video.
Everything
you fucking need. You even got a serial port there. Look at that. How tight is that? Printer port, whole nine. Very, very sexy. Very, very cool. So that's something you want to check out. From KB, this military vehicle looks something out of a bad action movie made for FBI military. Whoever needs them can outfit it with anti-terrorism weapons, such as missile launchers. Because God knows, you need missile launchers. This is the Military Truck 2, I believe it's called. And it's, you know, pretty much a WOG vehicle. It's kind of nice. Kind of nice. And then Thorn sent me a really interesting email. I'm going to read this to you. This is really cool. This is very kit-related. You'll like this a lot. From Thorn, he writes, SKTFM, where to start? I catch your show and have been for some time. Just want to say right here, you deserve props for what you're doing, standing up and telling it like it is. This isn't idle sunshine I'm blowing up your ass. Oh, no, I never think it would. It's a day and age when they haul off U.S. senators for speaking what they really think, or money to blitz them out of existence, Cynthia McKinney much. Or if they would have a members in Congress and Senate, what would they do to ordinary men? Yeah, so we're in Canada. That doesn't really make us any safer. That being said, I just want to point out a couple of links that I think is well worth the read. Here's the first link. Tom Burton has been granted a patent for his free energy device, and they don't award patents to things that do not work. would be cool if this. It'd be cool to get this guy on the show. And technology is a double-edged sword. Either dark applications, basic principles of any device. So I'd like to see. Yeah, if we can get in touch with him, that'd be tight. We also got another link here. This is from some group called Prawlad.org. Okay. And it's a long fucking read, but I beg you to read it so you fully understand how ghastly these fucking things are. And they're talking about scalars. And as well, they got some stuff on there about HarpGoms and Cryptome. Is the Bladed Down or another can of worms? Maybe it's too far. I don't think it's true. The theory, development, and application of these systems was being completed years ago using obsolescence technology by today's standards. We're talking Radio Shack parts here to build harp guns. Thanks for your time, man, here and on the show and everywhere else you devote yourself. So that's very cool. Thank you very much, Thorn. And thanks for the links. It's handy when we get stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Super duper cool. And I got a really cool media review. Media review, this is a recommended book here. Although James Patterson is best known for his quick thrill slasher book series that seemed to outsell the Bible, he wrote a little-known novel called Black Friday, which is about a group of Vietnam veterans who seek to crash the world's economy out of revenge for being left to die on the streets of New York. Now, the book would seem particularly close to being... The book would seem particularly close to becoming contrabanded, so I suggest you pick it up. It reads quickly and has some very profound nuances. Sounds like sort of an old-school Fight Club based with Vietnam vets. Very interesting. I think some people might be interested in that. The guy's name is James Patterson, with two T's, and the book is called Black Friday. So it's a very, very interesting book. Very, very cool. I haven't got a daily check for you, but I do have a baptism.
Oh, really?
Yes, I have a digital baptism for a guitar, whose name of who the guitar's owner is. I'm sure he knows who I'm talking to. But your guitar is now known as the Shovel. Okay, thanks for coming out. That kind of really, you know, works there. Now, on to the contest. The extension rules on the contest.
Okay, yep. Okay. It's a little bit too hard for people. Not enough writers out there.
Yeah, I want to see some footage, okay, that lets people know that we WOGs are not going to... This will be part of the contest.
Okay.
Okay. We WOGs, like something that is pro-WOG. Something that's pro-fans of Rant Radio. Because the Rant Radio WOGs are not going to hand over our planet to a bunch of Scientologists. The Rant Radio WOGs are not going to hand over our planet to a bunch of Greys.
No.
Okay, the Rant Radio WOGs are a brotherhood. You don't think we're a brotherhood, check it out. Everybody looks after everybody else here.
That's
I'm
right.
Very comfortable with people being on this show. I think it's awesome. These people here have a greater sense of camaraderie than has ever been seen in any other internet radio show. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. Have you ever seen a radio show, Sim, in the last 5 years that we've
no.
been just running around doing this shit?
No.
I mean, we had a year before this. We were looking at thinking about it, blah, 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 blah. We've been doing this show. But have you ever seen a community like the one that we built here?
Not really.
I mean, shit, guy, when Wired and Spin Magazine talk to you and say, wow, you got some crazy shit going on here. Maybe we got some crazy shit going on here. So the WOGs band together. The WOGs are people. The WOGs are not just some voice there. And I think that server sees us. I think we know what's going on. And I think we need to get maybe some stuff that could be some green screensavers. Maybe we should get some WOG promotion stuff that says, yeah, we're going to look after each other. Maybe we don't like Scientology. Maybe we're not going to hand over our planet to a bunch of fucking little saucer jockeys, all right? I'm not going to have these assholes showing up taking the world. So that's what I want to see. We're going to extend the contest
pro-wogs.
For another week. I don't care what it is. If it's pro-wogs, send it to Smokehouse. He'll take a look.
Video, audio,
video, text. Audio, video, writing.
Pictures.
Don't give a shit. You want to draw, whatever. But the contest rules have now changed. Sorry, Shade. Because we only got three people in, so we want some pro-wog shit, and we want Smokehouse to get it. Going through the RC tonight, these are the people who managed to stick around. We got Chocolate Gimpzilla.
Oh, Smokehouse's email address is smokehouse@rantradio.com.
Yeah, that's right. If you want to get it, yeah. Smokehouse, you rock, by the way, guy. So, what do we got? Chocolate Gimpzilla. We got Snake Out There, Alien Binary, Alamode, Alanon Zero. How many people got in? 84. That's not bad. Alpha 736, Alter Boy, Angelica Cosplay, Angry Monkey, Panther Pee, APOC, Barcode, Blatt, Burger Burger, Caffeine Powered, L, Case, Communist in a Can, Kyo 23, Delamorta, Delusion, Doobster, Gucci Good Student, Earth Scum. Which you're not Earth Scum, man. Be proud of yourself. Case just showed up. Chocolate Bug, Communist in a Can, Kyo 23, Delamorta, Delusion. Oh, they're all jumping in here. Choco Shade, Delusion, Doobster, Earth Scum and Ocean, Festy Penis. 4 kilohertz, FUD, Fuse, Genesis, Hero Killer, Id Fungus. Good to see you, man. Id Fungus, if you'd be so kind, I need your mailing address. So if you could drop me your mailing address, please. K16, Kaxler, Kindling Boy, Lentium, Lento, Lorax, Loser, Mike J. Mike J. Oh, no, that's probably a different Mike J. Misconduct, Mocha Doodle, Moles Feet, AFK, Mr. Echo, Napkin, Neuralize, New Wave, Nixon, Persistent Object, Psycho, Punk of Evil, Quasimofo, Ratspoon, Red 5, Rich, hey Rich, good to see you, buds. Rose, Sam I Am, Sapphire, Shades of Dark, City by Chris, SKFM, Data Stalker, Spudley, Star Baby Stats, Stifiol, probably said his name wrong again, Technophile, T9 Transistor, Trotsky's Ghost, Turnspike, Opt, Wiggle Puppy, Work of the White Gherkin, good to see you, man. Yerky, Zootroy, Nosferatu, D-Day Species, Intricate, Lieutenant Zombie Sleeping, and Sifu!
I got some stuff.
What do you got?
People did some artwork.
Oh, cool! I want to see the artwork.
During the show. There they all are.
Oh, can we see them? Can we go through them?
Yeah.
Oh, is this all just from that one thing? What do we got? We got, that's awesome!
I'll be doing the show alone today. Sean is really sick.
That's awesome. Holy crap.
That's a good one.
This has just been the ones we've done since then.
Yeah.
So we got that one. What's the next one here? Oh, it's been radioed. They made the next one and they cut off Elf's head and put it in your lap.
Alien life form, yes.
That's right, because we don't fucking cater to wogs. Wait, aliens. We are wogs.
Aliens.
That's right. Oh, my gosh.
I want the legs and liver. Did anyone bring any fava bean?
That's awesome. Holy crap.
Is that a squirrel?
I think that's a hamster.
Hamster!
Yeah, that's rad. What else we got here?
And I think he just changed the eyes on this one to be... Oh, skin's all changed on that one.
That's crazy.
I'm like the puzzle man there.
The Enigma.
Enigma, yeah, that's right.
What's this one here?
And that one's a bad image reference. So he took that one down, and...
Oh, we got another one.
And that's a
little mouse. That one's awesome because it looks like it's just a little mouse on the end of the sign. That's fucking rad. I like that one. That's probably one of the best ones. Very cool. Fuck, that makes
very,
me feel
very cool.
Very cool. Very cool, guys. Thanks so much for showing up. I mean, it's really, really cool. Stick around because we do have a painfully long interview that you can...
hour and a half. Stick around.
Stick around. We got another hour and a half of interview for you sick bastards. You want to hear it.
I think I found that alien song by Spock. If not, I've got... What's never trust a Klingon.
Oh, never trust a Klingon.
If I don't have one, because I can't find anything that says that one that you were mentioning.
All ETs aren't nice?
Yeah. I can't find the title, so maybe it's not called that.
I think it's called Watch the Sky.
Watch the Sky.
Yeah.
Let me try that.
Let's just take a quick look here.
Not in that.
Doc Spacewalks, they're already here. Agent, Starfinder, Dream Within a Dream. Is there another album you have, or what?
What did you name? What did you call it?
It's called Watch the Sky. This is like way too perfect.
I think I put too many searching things. Let's just try Sky. It can't be that many.
Wow, you got like a ton of shit here.
Way too many things.
Can you put Spock?
Bad Religion. Castles in the Sky. The Sky is Falling. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. By William Shatner.
Really?
Still going. Spirit in the Sky by Fuzzbox.
Fuzzbox?
That's it. So...
All right, we got Never Gone. We'll
try
put
these.
Those two out
we'll,
there.
We'll try these.
Spock.
Well, I'm going to see if they are.
Well, they are. They're already here. That's probably a good one, too.
Yeah?
And then we'll go from there. We'll play them both. Fuck it.
Okay.
All right, and then so we got... And then we got Come Join Us after that. And
then the interview.
So stick around. It should be a good show. Oh, where you come from is gone. Where you thought you were going to, weren't never there. And if you haven't got a human skull, that means not welcome!
Thank you.
So you say you gotta know why the world goes around, and you can't find the truth in the things you've found, and you're scared shitless cause evil abounds. Come join us. Well, I heard you were looking for a place to get in, for a better way to live, the same as you live. Our family is here, and it's all worth it. Come join us. All we wanna do is change your mind. All you need to do is close your eyes. Come join us. Oh, come join us. You can probably imagine like somebody's mom in the background.
Well, I like it down.
Well, I got the Broken Saints guys. They do all the work from their basement. They have a lot of the race posters on the walls and stuff like that. So yeah,
it's all about the smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
Make yourself look better.
This is kind of creepy, actually.
I have a creepy Children of the Corn picture of myself.
Yeah, it's
the
like the only photo.
We're not egocentric.
Shit, you took down. Like the place is pretty sparse.
Yeah. Well, there was some stuff in there, but I had to take it out for the four-year.
All right, for the big.
Well, we just had our four-year anniversary.
Yeah.
On Friday.
Yes. That was today. On the third.
No. Yeah, the third. It's not the third today. It is the sixth.
Oh, damn!
Better correct your watch. What are you doing here today? You're not supposed to be here today.
Oh my God!
Okay.
So yeah, we started on January 3rd, 1999.
Are we getting enough sound? Is that the mic? Is that our mic?
Well, it would be better if everyone had their own mic.
I can talk into my mic.
Yeah?
If you want. Yeah,
sure. Super sweet, actually.
Super
sweet. Testing 1, 2, 3, sibilance.
Don't worry about that. Just talk normal.
Okay. He'll fuck with levels until it... Oh, yeah, you have to rhyme the entire interview. I hope
that's
okay.
Right.
Is that all right? Is that a problem?
That's
Peter?
A prerequisite. Yeah. If you miss one, it's okay. Miss three, you're out of here.
Yeah, we usually use like about a 16 beat tempo.
Yeah,
so
I'll start it right now.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Can I have a hardcore interview? Hey. I love those fucking things. You know, every time someone puts that little tape recorder, it makes me feel like, you know, may help your landlady take out her garbage.
Yes.
Yeah, fucking creepy.
You've lived two lives.
That's a creepy shit.
Mom, this is Clark Nova talking.
No kidding. Like Twin Peaks or what? Anyway. So what's up?
Wow, okay, well, I'm always really interested in people who do, you know, using that to do like small independent operations like this, and especially when they can leverage it and making something that looks really impressive.
Sure.
Smoke
and mirrors. Looks.
Yeah. Key terms are looks really impressive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, that's why it impressed me about Broken Saints, because like you know, there was a rumor flying around on their bulletin boards that they couldn't have been, they couldn't have just three guys working in a basement. They couldn't be that. There must be some huge conglomerate backed up with hordes of artists and you know, backed by Sony or Nike or somebody like that. And you know, in truth, it's just them, these guys living off their savings and
depleting their savings.
Yeah, depleting their savings.
Slowly depleting their savings.
And, you know, they're putting out this really impressive thing that's you know, poised for a multimedia conglomeration.
Dun, dun, dun.
And
to be bought up.
Read, sell your soul.
Well, they've given that a lot of thought. You know, they said whatever it's going to be, it's not going to be about how many action figures they move out.
Oh, no. I mean, for the right price, you can move all the Sean Kennedy action figures you fucking want. You know, each man has his price, you know. I mean, mine's up there, but it's drastically falling as economic times get harder, you know.
Yeah. So that's why I'm interested in about how this got started. Do you have any financial support?
Sean, nope. Stop breathing into the mic.
I'm sorry.
I'm just excited. Yes. Financial support is out of our own pockets, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. You betcha.
And, it all got started because I wanted a radio station, and normal radio stations, over-the-air radio stations are very expensive to make. Even like a community-supported one, like co-op
licensing
radio.
Licensing kills
here.
You. I mean,
yeah, it's all about the licensing.
We could bullshit our wiring, and we could, you know, like, beg, borrow, steal all the parts required to actually, you know, throw signal. But the licensing is retarded.
And pirate radio, of course, you're going to get caught because, well, there it is. There's your broadcast, right? You're going to find it pretty quick. Stronger. Oh, there you are.
Yeah.
And they shut it down. So all of a sudden, one day, the Nullsoft people come out with Shoutcast, and it's free. And I go, wow, I can broadcast from my cable modem. And it's easy. I just set it up.
Now, that was all James. That wasn't like me and James sitting around, you know, getting high and deciding, oh, hey, we should make it. No, that was purely James' baby. This whole station was his dream.
Yeah, Pump Up the Volume was like inspiration, right? Way back in the day, I watched the movie and went, well, before that I wanted a radio station, but that really solidified it. And then it became a dream become true after, you know, the wonder of the internet and computers. Computers can do anything, right? So there it was. I started broadcasting with one cable modem, very low bit rate, just playing whatever music was on my hard drive.
Yeah, it was messed up.
And then you
talked to me about it, which is so funny. And the first words, he's like, yeah, and I broadcast. And he told me about the whole idea. I'm like, wow, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard in my life. I'm like,
why would anybody want to listen to that?
Listens to you, exactly. Well, you know, people. What people? Internet people. Really? Wow. All six of them, you know. And there were shows that in the beginning that they did. Yeah, it was like less than six people. There was more people in the studio than there was listening to the show.
That's right.
But it kind of was
for fun.
It was a social thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was an excuse for the guys to come over and hang out and just talk about what you normally talk about.
Yep. Into a microphone.
Yep.
And that was it.
And after a while, you just forget the microphone's there.
Then I guess it if.
Let's get into the whole me wanting you to come into the station.
Yeah, I've always been kind of a loudmouth, whereas James was a Christian Slater in Pump Up the Volume. I was probably Lord Humongous from Road Warrior. I've always been kind of this guy who's been going around in shopping malls and whatever, and I just I'll walk along, and my big problem is I can't see something and not say something if I think it's totally screwed. Like, you see it every day. You see stuff that's completely messed, but you don't say anything. You're like, oh, that's weird. You know, I have something wrong in my brain that stops that from happening. I'm like, wait, that's wrong. You know, and I make this big tirade about it. And I started doing these rants, and it started off me just wigging out about stuff. And then we said, hey, let's put some thrash metal behind it. So we put some thrash metal behind it. And then I said, hey, let's cut out all my breathing out of the rants. It sounds like I'm, you know, on
takes one big breath before he starts.
Like, massive speed. Yeah. And
just got more. And
it
more
just got
intense.
More. And we come over. I bang out five or six of them a night, and totally non-scripted, just off the cuff. And that was it.
And I would put these rants, these recorded rants, into rotation. Into the music, every couple songs, a rant would go in, and people were just loving it, digging it.
Yeah, I remember the day he called me over and said, hey, Sean, do you realize that every minute of every day someone in the world is downloading one of your rants? And I'm like, shut up.
Because I made them available for people to download off the website. And so people just constantly downloading them all the time.
And they just, because it was, I ran about things that are specific to people's lives, like everyday things, everything from McDonald's food to parking to nepotism in the office to, you know, bullshit to why hot chicks date weird guys and what with the loser boyfriend and every, oh.
Every topic.
News stories. I mean, shit, I just have to turn on the news and I'll find 30 things to rant about. It's like, you know, it's not hard. You know, one simple trip to the mall will wig me out pretty hard. So
just right about anything.
Yeah, you just go off about
so
it.
He's done like hundreds, literally yeah, hundreds,
300
of rants.
And something rants. I think is what we've done so far. And that's like hours and hours of screaming.
People have told us they've listened to them back to back.
Yeah, which scares me.
They've made compilation MP3 albums
of their favorite rants. You know, like an hour and a half of me going. I'm like, I can't even listen to four or five of them.
And they take
you know,
them to school and like, play them for their friends.
God, yeah, it's really bizarre.
One of the weirdest ones was some guy up north of BC.
Yeah, the suicide rant. Okay, I got to tell you, the quintessential Sean rant, the rant that will follow me to my grave and probably lay me in jail, will be the suicide rant, which was about that kid in Vancouver who jumped off the bridge a couple of years ago, 14 years old, used a Ouija board, jumps off the bridge. Okay? Now, I was picked on in school bad, okay? I was the total Columbine kid in my school, okay? And it really pissed me off because, you know, this kid goes, uses a Ouija board and jumps off a bridge, and everyone's all like, oh, you know, gee, that's too bad, you know, that this kid. Well, I mean, this is something that happens, and you know, we got together, and I started wigging out, and it was purely for entertainment purposes. I should state that now. This was entertainment purposes only.
That's right.
And I just did this rant, and, you know, don't kill yourself, kill other people, you know, and all this kind of jazz. So that, you know, it's something that, because kids do that. They get upset, they get angry, and they want to listen to something aggressive so they don't feel like, you know, they're not men. Right, because this is what happens. You're 15 years old. You have no outlets. You're like, oh, you know, it was great. And back in the day when we used to be able to go out, you know, 15 years old, get a stone knife, go kill a bear, put some blood on. Yeah, we're men. Rock. You know,
that's how you prove.
We don't have that shit anymore. So now it's like, you know, you're 15 and you're horribly awkward and you're like, eh, oh god, oh, I don't know. And then you know, the jocks all can prove that they're men, but we can't prove we're men. So it's like, fuck. And this is why you end up with like 35 year old men with like balding on top and they comb their hair over, driving the Trans Am at the bar, just being a little too old, trying to pick up the chicks. Yeah. So it's kind of awkward. So I just was going with that. I don't know where I was going with that train of thought there, but the whole that's where the suicide rant went off on. That was the big rant. Everybody really enjoyed the suicide rant. They thought it was a lot of fun. And we'll play that tonight. We'll do that on the show so
sure.
You can hear it and what the hell.
It's actually one of the MP3s that are going to be played on the show. It's somebody did a remix of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know that DJ Ojive.
Yes, it is. DJ Ojive just did one.
He did one. Did he do another one? There was Me versus the Professor or
yeah,
something
like that?
Yeah,
that's what it is. It's a mix of the two.
Of the Professor rant.
And the Suicide rant.
The Professor... Oh, that's dangerous. Because they could take like one line from one and make it sound like I'm telling people to do really bad stuff.
Good. Everyone liked it. We played in the fourth anniversary show. That's what it was for.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it is.
But I
want to
play it on the show as well.
It,
yeah.
And
it's that good
or whatever? Good. We should probably play like Radiation or something like that. One of the Sable rants.
Sure.
Sable ones just for shits and giggles.
Anyway, back to the interview.
Sorry.
We tend to.
Yeah, we do that.
It pads out the show.
The show is what happens the show is what happens between our actual format.
So did you get in trouble? Did somebody like say you're corrupting people's minds with suicide?
People
rate?
Corrupting youth? No,
wish.
Unfortunately not. No, we've never. No one's ever stepped into
fun.
The ring. We'd be like, we've been waiting for it. We're like, here they come. Gonna kick in the door.
They're coming.
Nope. Any minute now. You wanna order some pizza? Yeah, it's like we've never had it.
Nobody's complained.
Yeah, and I fucked with everyone. I fucked with Scientologists, which is the big no-no.
Yeah.
You can't say anything against Scientology. Shit, man, I go off about Scientology. I fucking hate Scientology. I call my fans WOGs because that's the anti, what Scientologists call non-Scientologists. That's the slander term for non-Scientologists is WOGs.
Yeah.
So the WOG Armada, and you know, and I go off
really
about how anyone who's like the Raelian thing, anyone who's into aliens is a human race traitor, and we ought to put the Greys in little camps and make belts out of them and stuff, and you know, we're going to put the Greys on cattle cars, and nobody can really say anything bad, you know, because they're not
aliens.
Yeah, you know, we do it to cows, why not? Fuck them!
You know those Raelians that are in the news lately about cloning?
Yeah, well, you have to be under a rock not to know.
We We've been talking about them for years.
Five years. Yeah, we got. They put this pamphlet on a car, and we went down to one of their info sessions with a video camera. And do we have a disc we can give them? Like a, can we burn a DVD for them?
Yeah, I'll do that.
We do an SKTFM show. I went to Burning Man. We filmed it. Blah blah blah. And I went to their session, and they, you know, spit all this shit at me. And it's really funny if you watch the interview, because I go back at them, and I'm like, I'm using their own theology to fuck them, because I used to argue religious theology, right? So I'm like, sitting there, and they're like, you know, and everything that God did was actually these Raelians. And I'm like, oh my God, the Raelians have been trying to kill us for years. The flood, the raining fire on Egypt, Jesus Christ, they're an invasion force. And, you know, I just go off like that. And they're laughing, we're laughing, everybody has a good time. So it's not like I'm doing a Tom Green thing where I'm in there trying to harass people and that. I don't find that humorous, nor do I find it cool. Everybody winds up laughing. And you walk away.
That's
a positive thing and not a negative thing. I don't believe in going and just, you know, attacking people. And the people who, if people are offended by my rants, the nice thing is they can turn them off.
That's right.
But getting back to that suicide rant, what a guy did was he took the suicide rant, which is a very, very, very controversial rant, very aggressive rant, and he played it to the UN Gardens over the loudspeaker.
University
system.
Of Northern British Columbia.
Yeah, University
UNBC.
UNBC Gardens, and he played it over the loudspeakers. And, I mean, it's not something you should probably play, you know, past level four on your stereo, because it's pretty aggressive, you know, there's a lot of controversial stuff in there. And
the security guards come in.
Yeah, the security guards came into the studio and jumped on
You should
him.
Really turn that off.
You should really turn that off. This guy's getting kind of carried away. You know. But again, I mean, a lot of it is, there's underlying tones of truth to stuff, but it's mostly comedy. It's all like, you know, Dennis Leary on speed kind of stuff. And, that's pretty much it. I mean, I've never said anything that would be considered to be like any kind of hate literature or any of that kind of stuff. I've never done any bigoted stuff or sexist stuff or stuff like that. I don't.
It's all pretty balanced.
Yeah. I don't like adhere to any of that. I just point at the stupidity of things. I'm like, oh, that's dumb. You know, and then I'll usually make reference to blowing stuff up.
It's to make people think, really.
Yeah, but
it's to present them with a point of view and open their minds.
That's
and
the
all
roots
that.
Of all this, though. We're still in the roots section of all this. This then grew into the What the Hell Show, which James actually started with another fellow named Drexel. And Drexel, because, you know, life goes on. Nobody's getting paid, so time commitments, you know, get involved.
Yeah.
And I stepped in when Drexel, you know, unfortunately couldn't, you know, kind of do it anymore. So I started co-hosting. And because the rants were popular, it started.
But this was over the rant radio?
This was over the last 4 years. This was after a year or so, because there was like 186 episodes of What the Hell?
Something like that. It went for 2.5 years.
Yeah, every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
Yeah, not one was missed. Every Sunday night.
86 weeks, which is pretty.
Yeah, so if you think about TV shows, they take breaks.
Near the end of it, there, of course, you know, everybody started getting on everybody's nerves, and it was kind of getting old. So
we said everything that needed to be said in that format.
So we broke it off, and then
a little break there.
How long were we not doing a show?
It was about 8 months.
Yeah, about 8 months.
6 to 8 months. We had took a little break.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you were shoutcasting at all?
No. Station was still going.
Okay. Yeah. This is just shows.
This is just live shows.
Ourselves on the radio.
Yeah.
Okay. So the station was still
station
going,
been
but
going
it was like 6 to 8 period months of no shows.
No shows from us.
No shows from us. There was other shows, but the Sean Sim combo wasn't happening for about 8 months there.
We did in that meantime, we did TV shows, actually.
Oh, is that?
We were doing TV shows.
Yeah, we were doing that's when we did all our SKTFM.TV, the DVD you'll be getting. That's when we started doing media that way. And, of course, the TV show, which is downloadable free off the web, was so successful that everyone's like, oh, when are you guys going to do What the Hell Again? When are you guys going to do What the Hell Again? And we're like, oh, go away.
Because the TV shows were every couple months, right? And they're like, we need more.
We need more, you bastards. So they beat us and they beat us and they beat us. And finally, and don't get me wrong, the shows are fun. Because if it wasn't for the shows, I wouldn't actually get out here to see James at all. Like, it's just life is...
Life is hectic. It just like the other show. It provides an excuse to get together,
right?
And just talk about stuff that's in the news or what's on in our life. Because
the website for that is sktfm.tv. Just so you know,
that's for the video.
SKTFM. Sean Kennedy, the fucking man. SKTFM.tv. Not that I'm reading your notes as you go here.
Okay, so that's where you're also doing.
yep.
from here.
Yeah, in the meantime, like once in a while we put out a new episode. I film Sean doing crazy stuff, interviewing crazy people.
Yeah, he follows me around and
film
it.
every second of his life. And
yeah, pretty much.
And one of those, we went down to Burning Man.
Yeah.
And filmed that. That's a big celebration.
Good.
I don't have to explain to you. It's very hard to explain.
Yeah.
People will go, huh?
She was asking.
I don't get it.
In the desert. Yeah, it's pretty mental.
Big party in the desert.
Yeah.
And we went down, filmed that. Lots of hours of footage, edited down to a two-hour movie.
Yeah.
And that was lots of fun.
Which was neat. That was a really cool experience.
Yep. So we're still putting out that. We also did a 30s-style radio show, pre-recorded radio show. Maybe you want to talk about that.
Yeah, yeah. Tales from the After Now, which was a concept that is we did 9 episodes of that, and that's a
little mini-series.
Yeah, my number one love is writing, actually, which is kind of funny that all of this, you know, I went and did the Army thing, but I always wanted to be a writer. It's so funny that, you know, and eventually I kind of got dragged kicking and screaming back in the entertainment business. So I've always done very dark writing, horror writing, and just what's happening now is we're getting ready this month. Actually, we're going to be launching my horror writing website, where I'm going to be giving away my book for free. Mm. So, and with the Rant Radio, a lot of folks, because there was a book, I had a draft. I've written 2 books. My first book, there was a draft that was sort of not finished, not edited, that kind of got out, as these things do. And
when you have uber rabid fans.
And I said, I don't want anyone reading that because it's not finished. Because, you know, as you're a writer yourself, I mean, you get kind of anal about your stuff, and you're like, no, it's not ready. And then everyone's like, oh, okay, we're not going to read it. And little to my knowledge, they're passing this manuscript around like it's fucking wildfire, right? It's the thing to get. And we do an interview with Skull Crew, and they said, do you have any interview questions for us? And I said, yeah, has anybody been reading that stupid manuscript? Because I'd heard that it was floating around. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, we've all read it. And I'm like, what do you mean we've all read it? And they're like, oh, yeah, everybody reads it. We love your stuff. And then I look in the IRC, and everyone's like, yeah, we've all read it, Sean. You know, there's like 100 people. I'm like, you bastards! So I thought it was funny.
Not done yet.
Yeah, so there's been a demand for the writing, and so that's where I'm probably going to chase after that. And that's going to be darkatlas.com is the horror writing website, and this month we're going to launch. And that's pretty much it on that. But the Tales from the After Now was Dark Atlas is modern day horror. Tales from the After Now is a science fiction cyberpunk. You know, after the world is all taken over by corporations and time is copywritten, and I'm this librarian who's wandering around in the wastelands trying to share knowledge, and there's no air left. And we did a very, ripped off War of the Worlds and pretended we were getting streamjacked from the future and all this kind of
broadcasting back into
back
the past.
In time,
so you can
the past.
You can prevent this from happening.
This kind of total ripping off everything from Max Headroom to the Terminator to, War of the Worlds.
Everything, yeah.
Yeah, it was just great. So, and it was extremely well received.
Yeah, done like a radio play back in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
You know, and with sound effects and everything like that.
So with,
pre-recorded.
With Rant Radio, the SKTFM.TV, Tales from the After Now.
Which is at the After Now.
TheAfterNow.com.
.com. Your new thing.
And Dark Atlas with my writing. Okay, and now on top of this, I'm married. I have my own business. I also work full-time, and I have a dog. Okay, so... You know, and short of running into Tyler Durden somewhere along the way, I better fucking slow down, okay?
Yep.
So something had to give, and I wound up saying, no, I can't do Tales from the After Now anymore. It's too much.
Huge demand for it, but hey, maybe one day.
Yeah, I intend to do some writing for it, but it was kind of a gag. It was something that I cooked up one day. I went, hey, shit, this would be neat, and did it. You know, it was a joke! It was a joke! this the mantra of my life. It was great, and it was really well received, and I'd like to do more writing and write some books in that genre, because,
We like to do stuff, do it well, move on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
That's pretty much how it's been going. Like, we do something, do it well, go to the next thing.
I enjoy.
Thing, the next
yeah, I very much enjoy, like, a lot of, the whole cyberpunk sort of genre, which, back in the day, this was very, very cool, because we're all like, yeah, we're broadcasting pirate, which is really not pirate. It's not pirate internet radio. I mean,
it's getting more and more pirate these days.
It might get pirate. I mean, it's getting kind of scary. And then I've always, of course, being into horror, horrors like this, with especially my style, is conspiracy theory, and, you know, dark outworld beings, and, you know, gradually you start getting into the Fortean times type things, and then I start throwing my own slant on the news, just like everybody else does, and, you know, pretty soon you're talking about who's really behind George Bush.
You like to make it exciting.
Oh, yeah, you know,
you have fun with it,
and that's okay. That's okay. I mean, it is here, and we do cover actual news events, but, I mean, it's alternative entertainment media, and there's some valid points here. Some stuff's serious, like when they were talking about microchipping people. I had a bit of a wig-out session on that. but so our listeners are, one thing I will say is that no matter how qualified and how talented we are, our listeners are...
way more talented.
Fucking amazing. Yeah. I can't believe that these people listen to us at all.
I mean, just talk into a microphone. They fill in the gaps. They do artwork. They
do
audio.
Oh, my God. 3D renderings. I mean, I never script anything. Even Tales from the Afternoon isn't scripted. I just kind of do it off the cuff.
Yeah, everything we do is not scripted.
Yeah, and these people take these ideas I have, and that's what really, really wanted me to do my writing, actually, because I thought up, I made up this, one of the episodes I talk about this robot named Mutt, which is a quantum computer that became self-aware, and it makes friends with a little girl, and eventually the little girl gets sick, so it cuts off her arms and legs and throws her into a backpack after being sealed so she doesn't die, and takes her to Detroit, which has been overrun by chemicals, so he can transfer her intelligence, which when you're a robot, you know, she's going to die anyway, so we may as well take the arms and legs off. I mean, she's just a more compact package, right? And that's the kind of dark sort of, oh, God, that's so dark. And I live for that stuff. And I did the story, and James, of course, is a wizard with post-production, so he made the voice, you know, took my just me talking and made this really heavy reverb. And you know,
makes it sound like we're trying to get through. And actually, we should tell them how we introduced Tales from the Afternoon.
Oh, yeah, that was, well, with the StreamJack, with the hacking, and the, you know, and I said there was this big episode where I was going to do this cult special, which, of course, everybody expected because I'm into that stuff anyway. And I made them all light candles, and I said I was going to do an illusion, which I learned. So, but you have to have candles burning around your computer at night. Yeah. And so
they all do it, of course.
And then, in the middle of the stream, you know, the stream jacks out, there's static, and this voice comes in, and I'm getting through, and all this kind of jazz. And, I mean, it was a big ruse, and everybody kind of knew it was going to be a ruse anyway, because they kind of half figured it out. Guys, there was like sound engineers, because
we let that go for 4 weeks, and there's people trying to decode
these messages that would break into our broadcast and say, like, oh, I can't breathe, and things like this, the air is gone, and all this kind of jazz,
because we slowed it right down and reversed it and stuff,
and guys were really going into it. And by the end of it, again, complete War of the Worlds ripoff,
we got them all whipped up and
yeah,
all excited.
It went over, it was really good. It was one of the more exciting things we've done.
Yes,
and
that was really fun.
And funny enough, the first night we did it, there was a blackout. There was an internet outage.
Yes.
In all of Tawasin. So the show went, and I don't know if I'll make it. And then, bang, this
gone.
Whole grid ceases to exist. So guys who are like really know what they're doing are like, Tawasin's gone. It's not on the web right now.
Yeah,
you know,
they were
like, oh my God, there's guys like freaking out. They started phoning us, and because there's people like, in the heyday, when there was all this stuff happening and it was really, really popular, what the hell? But now it's building up even higher than it was then.
Yeah.
And the following is getting higher. There are people who I can't log on to the internet without someone finding me. Like, I'll log on and people go, oh, Sean, this isn't you. And then I'll say, like, say something, and then they'll do, like, a backtrace and know exactly where I am in the city.
We're pretty candid about ourselves and our lives on the internet.
No secrets.
We hide very little.
Yeah, very little secrets. The only thing
so they know us really well, like, they almost think of us as friends, I think.
We are their friends.
Yeah.
I think of a lot of these people as our friends because,
yeah.
I mean, how much have they done? Like, there's people out there who, like, Smokehouse, who's been with us since day one.
Yeah.
Art drove up here with Caponex, Templar Knight, Creature, Templar Knight, Caponex, Creature, Smokehouse.
They drove for like 42 hours.
They drove for like 42 hours up here.
Yeah.
Okay, to see me, and they brought me like a knife and a bottle of whiskey, and they, you know, just wanted to hang out.
And lots of people have done that.
And Mr. Echo came down. And
Nixter's done it.
Nixter's done it. Guy from
This is all over North America,
from
Alaska, from California.
Oh Jesus! From New York, green hair. APOC did it. You know, and then they used to have these things called Sabbats where we all get together and there'd be listening parties and Mike and Guilford. And
right, these guys are what, DJs, musicians?
No, they're fans.
Okay. Just fans, just listening to
the station. They're just fans, and they're like, wow, you guys rock. And
we love what you do. Just keep doing it.
We love what you do. You're awesome. Thanks so much. And I'm like, hey, thanks, guy. And every time they come by, I feel so bad because I'm just...
Yeah.
You know, here I am. And I don't have, like, this cool secret underground lair.
And they're like, well, I want to sit in on a show. And we're like,
you're welcome to sit in on a show.
You're going
to
be disappointed.
There's going to be a lot of people who really envy what you're doing right now. I'm serious. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
And the fact they come out, I wish, like, make a joke saying I'm the open source celebrity, and I'm thinking that something we're doing, either the writing or something's got to hit somewhere.
I wish we could, like, book a stadium and fly in all our fans and just do a show and live on stage.
And we'd all get drunk.
And it'd just be awesome.
Have an orgy.
Free booze for
everyone. That'd be great. But it would just be, it'd be a good time. It'd be a really good time. Yeah, the fans make the station because there's people out there.
They contribute so much.
Yeah, finishing that thought.
What do they contribute?
Oh, I'll show you.
Art.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable art. Getting back to that Mont and Rachel story, I just talked about this. So I gave a brief description. Well, guys are out there doing three-dimensional renderings on professional workstations of this robot. You know, like hours and hours of animation time.
Yeah,
like
they're
huge animation.
It's not done yet.
It's not done, and you know, and
it's
and
not quite right.
There's a guy who was working on. He took stills of the side of my head. He made me take photographs. He wants to animate my head so he can do make like an Eliza program that people can talk to, and it's like me inside the machine talking back and stuff.
Yeah, I saw the beta version of that. It's like pretty wacko.
Yeah, it's like fuck, guy. Like we're talking hundreds and hundreds of hours these people are putting in.
Yeah.
Because we're cool, which. We're not.
And I think that stems from, like, we do this out of the goodness of our hearts, out of our time, out of our pocket.
Yeah.
And they
we can't stop.
Yeah.
We can't stop. If we were to stop
like
now...
Like, addicted to it.
Yeah, if I was to pull the plug down and say, fuck this, I'm too busy, blah, 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 wife, whatever, yada, yada.
They'd attack us.
Well, more than that, it's like, what was the point?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it all bullshit?
Yeah.
You know, Sean, was it all bullshit? You know, this all this shit you talk about, was it bunk? So I've kind of painted myself into a corner here. I'm like, we gotta go. We'll be going forever. Well, you better keep going forever, otherwise you're fucked.
Yeah.
Oh God, damn it!
The only rest Sean's gonna get is if he gets arrested.
Yeah. Yeah. And
which, jail.
It'd be kind of nice if I did get arrested. I'd be like, can't make it on Monday night no more. But you can fucking well bet that they'd get a line to me.
Oh yeah, somehow. Like
it's pretty wild actually because I say that. The internet, as this, speaking of the microphone, this becomes the world's most powerful search engine right here. I'll just say this, and they'll go find it, no matter what the fuck it is. And
they've done like satellite tracking. So there's the house of what you mentioned. And
I won't talk about that one. There's been some interesting stuff.
Yeah.
There's some interesting stuff, which, you know, for a while there was getting real intense, but we kind of leaned back right after September 11th. We came away from our more aggressive direct action approach, but now, I mean, even the fact we're talking, it's, you know, your cyber terrorism. What's going on?
Oh, nothing. I burned you a copy of all the TV shows that we've done.
Nice. Great.
They're the low-resolution versions, but they all fit on one disc, so
that
makes
great.
It nice.
You wouldn't want to give them two discs. Holy fuck.
Well, the high-resolution fits one per disc, so that would take forever.
It probably sounds quite funny, because whenever I've got this mic on
here,
it sounds like we're doing a show right now, which... It's funny, whenever I sit here and I have this microphone, James and I will go right into show mode.
It's showtime.
It's showtime. And I can't, like, I want to keep calling him Sim, so it's a conscious every time I go. Me and James, it's so hard because I'm so used to calling him Sim and stuff.
And I love doing all of this stuff. I fill my every spare moment with it. I'm also in a band as well, which is the same.
Porn on Beta, which is amazing. Same kind of music as what we play here.
Pornonbeta.com.
Yeah.
So it's all falls under the banner of what we do. It's all one big collective.
We single-handedly are keeping the .com industry going with all these fucking websites. It's pretty brutal, actually. We just sit back and you talk about it. So let's see, James. You have a full-time job. You run an internet radio station. You do your Monday night show.
I do video editing.
You got your video editing.
Got the band.
Running the TV show. You're running the band.
Run the whole radio station.
Doing the radio station. We covered that.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're good. And then plus me. Yeah. So, again, both of us
and
are...
full lives, yeah.
Yeah, our
what do you do for a living, by the way?
Computer stuff.
James doesn't tell people where he
works.
That's
the one secret I hold dear that I can.
That's the one taboo.
It's not a big deal.
Both of us have a taboo that is not discussed.
Yeah,
James is
our jobs.
Well, no, I don't mind my job.
Okay, yeah.
Mine is my wife.
Yeah.
It's really funny because there's very few sacred things on the internet, and in the IRC especially, if people. The IRC is, like, there's a program called MIRC, which we think is funny. It's called Mercy, because there's no mercy in the IRC. Like, people will just descend mightily upon you. But people have, fans have been extremely respectful. of myself, more so of my wife. And the funny thing is that the fans have taken on my wife, who's known as the Dark One, which is so funny because she's so not. She's such a nice lady. But they've taken her and kind of made her this, you know, this person that's not to be touched.
Yeah.
And somebody else could walk in and go, hey, man, you know, it'd be great to, you know, fuck Sean's wife. And the rest of the fans would kill them and never tell
that
me that that was ever said, you know. I know stuff like that has happened where somebody said something and they're just, you know.
It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, their internet connection gets turned off. It's bad, actually. So, and I respect that. I respect that the fans' loyalty and stuff like that. It's mind-boggling. It actually is really quite touching. In a world where there's so little to really think that is really sacred, that connection between myself and these people, I find it, I prize it very much.
It is amazing.
It is amazing. Like, there's been nights where we've come in here and just jumped on the radio for no reason and just talked.
Yeah.
And I'll spill my guts. And you know, if you've ever been on a bus and you talk to a stranger, sometimes it's easier to talk to a stranger. You never see this motherfucker again. You know, yeah, you know, and I don't know. And, you know, I really want to have sex with my math teacher, and he's a nice guy and everything. You know, and it's funny. And then you get it off your chest, and you walk away, and you never see that guy again.
Yeah.
But the internet's like that. Only now it's like, I've said the joke before, and they put it in a remix where I'll come in here, and I don't really look at these people as people. I look at it as the internet, and it's like, the internet, like, follows me around. It sounds bizarre, but it's like this consciousness. In the Tales from After, I talk about server. And server is the internet becomes self-aware, and server provides for you and stuff like that. And it's just a... I don't actually think that, of course, but it's just sort of like an interesting...
It seems that
way. You can see how it goes that way. And eventually, you know, I'll come in and... These aren't people. It isn't, you know, a guy somewhere. It's Smokehouse.
Yeah.
It's Capone X. It's Templar Knight. You know, it's Soul Trance.
Yeah.
You know,
and these people are gods.
And these people are like, they're like all these demons that are conjured through this screen. You know, I call upon Soul Trance. And, I mean, that guy there, Soul Trance, for example, is a screamingly huge fan of my writing. I mean, the guy's borderline showing up at my house, you know, kneeling on my lawn waiting for the next book to be done. And I will stare at your wall until you give me the next book. You know, and he's really in my face about it. And I love that. I think it's great. I think it's awesome that these people are that intense about something in a day and age when no one gives a shit.
And we love inspiring people.
Oh,
that's,
God.
That's what we want to do, is to inspire these people. And people have said, I wouldn't be drawing if it wasn't for Rant Radio.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be doing music.
We've had talent that's come up where these kids who are like 16 years old have more talent than in their little finger than I've got my whole being.
I'll show you. These are some art that listeners
just
have
some. Expressed. This is just some for the Rant Radio program.
These are all wallpapers that people have done
for the station and for the show.
Yeah.
That's a good one there. Of you out and down at Burning Man.
Yeah. This is a picture of me out from Burning Man.
Audio Walk God.
Yeah. And then there's...
That was a photo shoot we did. That's Margie. She does the photos for Biff Naked, actually. Really nice lady.
Yeah.
And, this is nuts. Okay, in the first episode, I do a rant in a Buddhist temple, and I'm walking around talking about embracing life and all this kind of jazz. Now, what this guy did was he watched that episode enough to transcribe the entire rant that I did. He wrote it out, because when you hear me rant, I'm talking about the speed I'm talking now. It's very, very fast.
Yeah.
And he just watched it again and again and again and again and transcribed it and made a wallpaper.
I couldn't believe this. Absolutely amazing.
Shit like that melts my brain. Now, is it Radiation that's one that's got like 30 layers of... You know, gun store, that one.
I think that is the one.
Which is Sabo, a guy from Scotland, listened to all the What the Hell episodes, like, twice. Then he listened to all the Sean Kennedy shows. This is over a weekend, like, back to back, like, you know, sitting there by himself in a room in the dark with, you know, these speakers going and my voice coming over them. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, guy, you know, and it's unbelievable that these people do this. And I feel so... incredibly honored by it. You know, how can you not? How can you not feel honored by that? Like, it's kind of bigger than myself. I haven't seen this one. So like a lot of the stuff, this one here is a 3D render somebody's done. So it's pretty cool. Oh, this is another one here. Rantradio.com. A lot of stuff like this.
Even what is your job?
Myself?
Yeah.
I run a computer business, which is at cyberculture.ca. And I bought a little ISP out of Richmond and stuff like that. But I'd ask you to keep that kind of down, because I don't I don't use Rant Radio to promote my business.
Okay.
If I was, and besides, you know, actually it's really funny. We got an article in Vancouver Sun, and there was a big, they took some pictures. Thanks much.
Big crazy photo.
Huge photo. It's actually outside on the wall
there.
Show
it to you
and I got white hair, and I'm licking the microphone. It was the front page of the entertainment column in the Vancouver Sun. I'm walking around the clients. I'm like, hi, guys. And they're like, so, Sean, it seems you've been living two lives. And I'm like, yeah, that's that crazy stuff. and it's not that I'm ashamed of it. It's just that, you know, you don't want your personal life mixing in. And you can promote my writing all you like, because eventually that'll be the day. That'll be the eventuality. That's the dream. That's way over there. Yeah, I'll never get there. But it's and, you know, that's what it's about. But certain things, like, that's the other thing. Money is a funny thing. Money is a fucked up thing.
Yeah.
People have been like, Sean, why don't you... Why don't you guys take donations to do public broadcast? We had an offer for cash. Somebody came to us and said, hey, Buck, we want to buy your station. We'll pay you to do this.
We want to buy you.
Yeah, we want to buy you. And we said no, because the money was not... We wanted to do it. We wanted to do it. We're like, fuck, yeah.
We wanted
making
to
money.
Do it for, like...
Making money. And then we went for a walk. I remember that. We went for this long walk. We're like, this sucks a lot. And they're like, yeah, they're going to put commercials on, and we'll be all Wayne's Worlding it, and it'll suck ass.
Yeah.
So we said no.
Yeah.
And that was hard. That was really, really hard. And guys like Jella Biafra who come along and who tell Levi's to shove $50,000 up their ass, I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I would have had the strength to do that. But, I mean, people like that are
to sell a song
huge.
He hasn't sung in 20 years.
Yeah, you know, and he told people to shove it up his ass. I'm not selling Holiday in Cambodia. Go fuck yourself. Right? Whereas the mainstream world has no idea that Holiday in Cambodia even exists.
Yeah.
So who gives a fuck, Jello? 50 grand, guy, go. And because this, his band sues him, and they take all his music and his art, and now he's
and
fucked.
You'll probably hear Holiday in Cambodia, unfortunately.
Yeah, which is kind of a...
Levi's.
You know, so you lose the battle, but not the war. So it's a matter of... there is character. There is strength of character in today's day and age.
And I think the fans see that.
Oh, for sure.
They see it and respect us, and that's why they stay with us.
And that's one of the things, because I remember in the IRC one day, I'll never forget this, they were talking, and they said, if I sold out, what would they do? And there's three lines one guy said, I can't remember who it was, and he's going to be
really
mad
good.
That I can't remember, but he said, if Sean sold out, first we'd make fun of him, then we'd laugh, then we'd leave.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what would happen. It'd be
exactly.
Nothing. And,
yeah.
and everything that I did wouldn't amount to more than a beer fart. It'd just be a fucking joke.
Yeah.
So...
Mm-hmm. Like, what was it all for, Sean? What you're doing it all to sell out?
We're not right? against making money. We're not against that. I sold a microphone. This fucking blows my mind. We needed money to buy this microphone.
Because our microphone sucked.
Because our microphone sucked ass. This one here was given to me by Southpaw Samurai. This one here was... We're like, okay, you should see the old mic. It's fucking trash. It's
falling,
a Radio Shack. It's
apart.
Worse than that thing. It's just hideous. Okay, the head came off. It was fucking brutal.
It was barely working.
But it's the one I recorded all my rants on, whatever. So I come down to do a show one day. He's like, hey, guy, yeah, let's sign the mic. We're going to sell it on eBay. I'm like, oh, my God, that's so fucking weak. Right? And he's like, no. And he put it together saying, we're just doing this. There's the mic there. That's a sad piece of shit microphone. I got to press on my face like,
see,
look at this.
Angled
look at this
head.
Rad mic. It's so awesome. And I signed the microphone.
Yeah.
We put it on eBay. By the end of the show, it was at $42 American. By the time it actually sold, it was up to $127 US.
Yeah.
For a piece of shit microphone. The guy
it's
who bought
useless. It's not worth that much.
Templar Knight, who spends far too much money on this station.
Yes, he does.
Templar Knight bought it, didn't even want the mic. He said, go send it to Smokehouse, who is
the librarian.
If you want to send somebody an email and get like listener feedback for your article, Smokehouse is the man.
Smokehouse@rantradio.com.
Smokehouse@rantradio.com. He knows things about us that we have forgotten.
Exactly. I love that story. You want to tell that one?
I was out somewhere and I just moved. I just moved to my new house and I couldn't remember where the hell it was because I couldn't remember the address. And I was online.
It's brand new, right?
Because you know you're. You move and you're like, oh shit. So
I
was on with Smokey and I go, Smokey, what's my new address? He's like, oh, I rule! You know? So it's so funny.
Smokehouse knew his address. When
he's the official, all-knowing, all-seeing deity of Rant Radio, I would say. He'll be here tonight.
Yeah.
You know, if he's not here, it's like a major event. He tells 20 people, I'm not going to be there, and don't worry.
He records the show just in case I forget to record the beginning.
Oh, yeah,
and
he distributes stuff that we say we don't want distributed.
I mean, here, metaphorically.
What's that?
I
assume you mean yes. here metaphorically.
Yes, that's right. Over the internet, but yeah, he is here.
Like, I guess. Yeah,
on
when
the
we say
screen.
We kind of view that as a. As
they come and gather.
Yeah, I guess we do that. Is he here tonight? Is he?
Yeah,
in the
you
house?
Just say that.
Yeah, you get used to it.
It's like internet talk, right?
Okay, it's such bunk.
Does your fan base ever go over a line for you?
Go over a line.
We go over the line. Well,
this is an interesting division between Sim and myself. Sim is a little bit more reserved with his life because he does have a private. He has a professional job, so he has to be professional.
Pretty calm about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he has to be. You know, he can't really have 10 million people showing up at his work going.
It is pretty sensitive.
Come outside, or we'll kill ourselves. You know, that kind of thing doesn't wash. Right. You know. I myself would feel totally comfortable with just about anyone at any point, any time. I've never had a fan cross any lines. You're talking like fans want to come and like have sex with us or something like that, or where are you going?
Well,
with
I
this?
Mean, like they're stealing your laundry from the.
Oh, no. No, we're not. Cause
I watch them carefully when they're in the house.
Yeah, I don't have a problem. I've had fans come in the house, and then I had to leave real quick, and I left Adrian in the house with, like, Smokehouse TK and all these really big guys that she'd never seen before in the United States. And I'm like, I got to go. I'll be right back, okay?
We've only known them by name on the internet.
Name and email. I have absolutely no fear of fans at all.
They're all really, really good.
I think that fans become that way. They become that aggressive, we'll steal your laundry, when... You don't give them things.
Yeah, well, you don't give them yourself.
If you were a fan of mine, or I was a fan of yours, say, and I came to you and I'm like, hey, Peter, I want to hang out and stuff. You're like, yeah, I got to go. Okay, bye. And I'm like, oh, shit, now I really want to hang out with you and you won't see me. So I've got to do something, okay, to get a piece of you. Okay, and this is when I have to steal your laundry. Okay, don't make me steal your laundry, Peter. Okay,
because I will.
Because I fucking will. If a guy wants a set of my socks, I'll have the guy come into my house, have a coffee with me.
Pick one out.
We'll have a bunch of shots. Take your choice of my fucking socks and have a day.
Exactly.
Like, I don't have a problem with that. I love the fans. I really do.
Like, I shove pieces of paper in front of Sean's face to sign. Yeah. It's like, Sean, you got to sign these. People want them. And he's like, what?
Oh, yeah, okay, photos, yeah, okay, whatever. And I would do just about anything for fans.
Yeah.
Just about anything.
Because that's why we're doing this. Like, why else would you do it?
Yeah, it's huge.
It's for them.
Huge ego. Every writer, I'm sure you'll back me, every writer in their heart of hearts is an egomaniac. Every single one. I mean, they're pretty much, you should pay money to read what I write. I mean, come on. It's
unless you write it and then burn it,
and my,
you're doing it for somebody else,
exactly.
Right?
And my ego died of overfeeding about 2 years ago.
It got fast-bloated and died.
And now I need this. I need people to tell me I'm awesome, otherwise I Jones. And it's just, I get the shakes, and it's just bad. So, but we have good fun with it. We make fun of ourselves a lot.
Yes, that's what keeps it real. We have to keep fun.
Smokehouse, after all these wonderful things I've said about him, the guy is the most merciless motherfucker ever says, why don't you say basically a few more times, Sean? He's just brutal. You're listening like, my God, is he your friend? And we are. It's this weird sort of camaraderie that, you throw people to the wolves and stuff.
So it's fan and critic.
They all are.
Yeah, they're all harsh critics of us.
Yeah.
They're the harshest critics, I think. They'll beat us alive if we do something out of the ordinary.
Oh, yeah.
That sucked.
That sucked. You suck. Your whole world sucks. There are lines that I've never had. I'll let you know if anybody crosses the line. I've never seen it happen.
No, they're all very respectful.
I don't have much of a line to cross. If somebody started to harass me in my home... And I asked them not to. Like, if somebody had done something like that, I'd say, listen, guys, I need a little bit of space here, okay? They're cool with that.
Yeah.
Mm. That they're like, because I explain it to them. Dude, that's where I live. That's my wife. That's my dog. And they're like, oh, yeah, shit, guy, I'm sorry.
Because our phone numbers are out there. Our addresses are out there.
Oh, yeah, people.
Both of ours.
People know my phone number.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
people know my phone number. They know my address. It's easy to find on the internet. You can find anything.
Not this birthday, but last birthday, Templar Knight was going to get as many people as he could all over the world on a conference call and phone my cell and sing me happy birthday. And they didn't manage to pull it off because he only got like 12, 13 people, and then he couldn't get everyone, so he was like, oh, fuck it. But
just the idea.
The fact that he tried that was extremely touching to me. I was like, wow, guy, that's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like, thanks for giving a shit. Really. I mean, I'm just some fucking clown who drives around, and I've seen bus drivers who have a better gift for gab than I do. I mean, there's some funny people out there in the world. There's nothing more common than wasted talent. And I'm not for a minute thinking that I deserve any of these fucking accolades. Yeah, okay, I've done some funny stuff. Okay, great. But there's lots of people out there who have done funny stuff, and I'm very, very fortunate to have an opportunity to share with people. So who the fuck am I to stop?
Yeah.
You know, there are people who give their eye teeth to have an opportunity.
We're very lucky that these people listen in.
Yeah, extremely. Like, yeah, oh, my God.
We're pretty baffled, too.
Australia, New Zealand, Russia, Latvia, England, UK, all over the UK.
I'll show you. I'll show you.
Oh, we have
there you go. Argentina, Australia, Brazil, Germany, New Zealand, Scotland, Sweden, UK, and all the other
ones. South Africa's been blowing up lately. We've been getting a lot in South Africa going on.
And these are just people that tell me that they listen in.
Yeah.
And they send in their photos, and there's all the listeners that send in their photos to us. Like, it's just crazy.
And those are just the ones who are willing to send in their photos.
That's right. The other ones are a bit more secretive, huh?
Yeah.
And they do, like, banners for us.
It just goes on and on and on,
and there's some vigilantes. They make up CDs and they make up stickers for their CDs and they hand out shows to people at school, at work.
They write Rant Radio on their money and then start put it back in circulation.
Yeah, there's Rant Radio on the money, and there's people who made Rant Radio stickers and put them on their rally cars and wrote it on T-shirts. And it's just crazy.
And it always helps when they're sexy chicks, too.
Oh, yeah, we like that.
We like that.
Sexy chicks. Stickers up in U.S. mailboxes.
Can't commit federal crimes by putting in mailboxes.
We don't encourage that, but we like it.
We don't encourage it, but we do condone it.
Yeah, and they make, like, handouts you can print out. And oh, they're just insane.
Pamphlets and shit.
We're like, okay.
Yeah,
you go for it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
With this little sticker contest. People sent in stickers, and
they wanted to
somebody sponsored a sticker contest for us. We'll print stickers if you hold a contest, and we'll send stickers to you guys, and we'll send stickers to the winner of the contest just for fun.
Just because somebody had access to making stickers.
Yeah.
Right. And they're like, fuck it, let's do it. Why not?
That's right. Oh, we talk too much.
Don't say
anything important. Nothing important is being said right now.
Yes.
Yes, very important.
Okay, we're back.
Okay. Short commercial break.
Short commercial break.
Okay, so I've been following. One of the things I've been following is like Broken Saints and 8-Bit Theater, and these guys take a good portion of their operating costs is actually by donations.
Right.
Yeah.
Like the guy who makes 8-Bit Theater, he brings in like. Something like $1,000 U.S. a month.
Jesus Christ!
What have we been doing, Sean?
What the fuck are we doing wrong?
And, he's sort of an unusual case. He's like the Stephen King of webcomics. He's just in a class by himself. They took him off the best can at webcomics.com because he's been there for four months straight.
And, you're too good. Get off the list.
But he's just in his class by himself. But anyway, so do you guys take donations like that?
Nope.
No, we've never taken a red cent. From our listeners, ever.
We sold the mic.
We sold the mic, but we bought another mic. I had to put some more money in to get this mic. But
we don't mind getting money. We don't mind getting money. When I put Dark Atlas up, there will be a site. There will be a thing there for people to donate if they like the books. Mm. But
The thing is, I don't need money. And I'd feel bad taking money when I don't really need it.
It's like we would do this shit anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The books are different because that's something I've created. It's a product. It's a world that has taken me years to do. And it's something that I am doing, and this is something that's bang. There it is. And I feel like if you were to give me money and hours to talk, well, what the fuck do you have? What, do you got a recording? Give me a fucking break, right?
Yeah.
Versus if you give me money and I give you a book... Okay, which you can keep and you can read and it takes you away to another world. That I believe, you can sell books. That's okay because that's a product. That's a thing. Like a shirt, angryshirts.com, right?
They donate shirts. They make shirts for us.
For us and everything like that. Great guy.
We don't make any money off the shirt.
We don't make no money off no fucking shirts, but he makes the shirts.
He makes awesome shirts.
And that's okay, and I don't mind that. I don't mind if he makes a few bucks because he's selling me something. I get a product. I get a cool shirt.
That's what he wants to do for a living. Sean wants to write for a living. And he can't make a living making $0.
Yeah, and I think I'm pretty confident, actually, that not right now. Not right now. It'll take a while, and no matter what your genre, even if you're fucking amazing, you're only as good as your fan base. You know what I mean? Like even Stephen King, there's a lot of guys who don't like to read, and there's a lot of guys who don't like to read horror. You know what I mean? So even though he writes more than that now, but you see my point, right? Like, so it has to become circulated and known, and down the road, big picture, maybe you can make a living from it, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, but until then, you got to be able, you got to work on your craft, and the cash will follow. I firmly believe that.
That's right. And if somebody offered us. Scads of cash for doing exactly what we're doing right now and changing nothing. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. You know, if
we
provided,
could do something good with it.
We didn't even let commercials be played on the station. If we were allowed to say whatever we wanted before the commercial and after the commercial.
And we get to hack that commercial to fucking pieces.
And we get to pick which commercials, too.
And the funny thing is, too, is that even if they did and we just hacked the shit out of those commercials, I think those commercials would receive more people would listen for the commercial to hear what I said about that commercial after that commercial was played.
So they know what the commercial was.
Because when I'm angry and pissed off about something, I'm
funny
as hell.
Maybe we shouldn't have said that because somebody will steal our ideas.
Oh, well, fuck them. It's an idea. You know.
Okay. Well, I've never heard of that idea. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a good one. You know, whatever. I mean,
that's right.
It's cool. And they can hack the shit out of our, you know, whatever. So it works.
Most people hack the shit out of us, eh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the one thing is because it is unscripted, because it is so raw, people want that.
It's real.
You know,
the reality shows on TV.
I mean, that's what I'm
striving for. Reality, so much fakeness.
For the last year, I've said that honesty will be the pornography of the 21st century, and yeah, that's what it is. Is that now they have, you know, real TV and fucking Survivor and whatever and all this
people
bullshit.
People don't have their own lives. They need something exciting in their own lives. They're striving for something.
Yeah.
There's nothing there that they think they can do.
Exactly, and especially young people.
So they turn to TV, and we want to inspire people to do something with
that's
their
right.
lives.
We're filling that spiritual void in people's lives.
That's right. Come to the church of
Rant
Radio.
Come to the temple of Rant Radio. Not a religion. Do not worship.
Disclaimer.
Yeah, but, yeah, so go ahead. Next question.
Are we following?
I'm trying to reconcile it. You said that you wouldn't, that if you had a recording of what you wouldn't charge for that, but you would charge for a book. What's the difference?
Books are big.
Books take a long time.
Books take a long time.
We did this on the fly.
Yeah. If I did a recording of, like my rants, like we were selling an MP3.com CD for a while there, and you can type in my...
For zero profit, mind you.
For zero profit. It was just so you could have a CD recording of it.
Yeah.
Now, understand that I don't want that to shift into my political view of how other people should act. This is purely me and me only.
Yeah.
Okay, I wouldn't sell my rants.
We all speak for ourselves.
You know, yeah, I mean, this is just me here. Okay, by the same token, Sim over here, he's selling a CD. But bear in mind, after you listen to a couple of those songs, you realize how much work has gone into that.
Yeah,
there's post-production, hundreds of hours. Okay? And the same thing for a book. You have something that you have labored over. And
so
John's
got his books.
It's
my
the quality
music
of it, right? I mean, I don't really think these rants and things I do are really high quality. Shit, it's one tank. You know, I could do them half cut, and I have.
And I throw some music behind
it. We throw some music behind it. Fucking A, on the web it goes.
Sean comes here 20 minutes before the show. He goes, I want to record a rant. Okay, we do it, and it's on the show. I mean, there's nothing that...
So
we do all that
so
stuff on
what's
the
fly. Difference between that and a book? Well, yeah, there's no comparison. It's apples and oranges.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it'd be like, what would I charge to have a conversation with you? No, absolutely not. So what's the difference if we mic the conversation? There
yeah.
isn't one.
Yeah.
You know, versus if you wanted me to tell you an orchestrated story that would take me 35 hours, which comes into play with multiple ideas and concepts I've had since I was 12. Yeah, that's a bit much, and I have to make sure I go over it and groom it and diagram and put plots in it. And I mean, yeah, of course, it's about the effort. It's about the work that goes into it. That's
the labor invested.
Yeah, the labor invested. Yeah, I mean, I suppose, yeah, to a certain degree, the labor invested. And
somewhat. Sometimes no, because I took 400 hours to make the Burning Man movie.
For example, right. Prime example. That's true. That's
that
true,
was
but
a hell of a lot of work.
That was a hell of a lot of work, but, I mean, you get a lot out of that rewarding. For example, Tolkien, okay? I imagine Tolkien, he wrote the books, and then he puts them out, and that was great, you know? And he made some money from it, not nearly enough.
Yeah.
Okay, but if he had known that his work would create fucking modern fantasy as we know it, okay, he would probably be a lot happier with half that amount of cash he even made. You know what I mean? Like, H.P. Lovecraft died penniless. Okay, he was like 40. Lived with his mother and died. But yet the guy is heralded as a god now. And to be honest, the dude really couldn't write his way out of a paper bag. But his imagination was staggering. You know, so people, you know, they respect that. And the Lovecraft sort of scenario as a writer is really the idyllic one. We all don't want to die 30 with our mother and just be like, and then 50 years later, we're great.
His name's an adjective.
Yeah, he's now Lovecraftian. I mean, so we do get rewarded. We do get paid, not always in money.
Yeah.
Like, I've been paid for my rants.
Sorry. Just backtrack a moment. You said if Tolkien knew the impact he would have on, you know, modern fantasy.
I bet he would have done it for free.
He would have done less. He would have done it for less money.
Yeah, you betcha.
Okay,
because
you could have that much of an impact.
Jesus Christ! You know, like
that's reward enough.
Oh yeah, I mean to
have these people show up every week is reward enough
doing
the show.
I've gotten emails from kids who have told me the most heartbreaking stories about how
I have somehow lifted them out of this, you know, abusive home life situation. And I'm like, guy, I didn't do this. Okay, I did not do that. You did that. I did not do this. You can't give me credit for that.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like the other side of the coin to somebody saying, Marilyn Manson made me commit suicide, right? It's like, oh, how,
you know,
how did I influence you so much? How, one way or the other, it's mm-hmm. crazy.
Yeah, like the Videodrome concept. Don't put it on the streets, put it on TV. You know, there's so much. So I honestly think that, yeah, there are things more important than money. You know, it's, yeah, sure, money isn't everything, but it's really, really important. If I could, to be totally honest with you, if I could make a living, and I'm serious, a living, you know,
yeah,
a decent buck so that I could have a halfway-ass car, be able to get myself a little house and just, like, do my thing, you know, just like an accountant or something like that, sell my books on the web and have a few thousand fans who think I fucking rock, and I go for coffee and people want to come up and talk to me, I'd be happy.
Exactly.
That'd be good for me. Fuck. I mean, what would I do with a whole whack of cash? You know, millions of dollars. Shit. I mean, if I did wind up making huge money, I'd be. You'll definitely know my fucking name because I'll be out there doing wacko shit. Like, I'd buy like a boat and paint it weird and sail somewhere or something. I don't know. But life is about experience. It's not just about, you know, the fucking the rat race for the cash. I mean, you got to kind of transcend that, and that's what
you
we
can
talk
buy
about.
Crap, but what does that do for you?
And people are, especially people who interview us, are fucking amazed. They're like, so how are you making any money? You know, what's your business model? The guys,
that was so funny.
The guys from Wired when they interviewed us.
They were just baffled.
Steve Lessard?
Yeah.
Steve Lessard?
Mr. Lessard.
Mr. Lessard, who's an awesome guy.
Oh,
and if you awesome. Do a search on Google for Pump Up the Bandwidth, you'll get that interview. He asked us, now that at the end of the interview, he said, what's your business plan? And I told him, because this is right at the end of the dot-com craze there, and I told him that our business plan was to take over the Earth using giant mecha and two-headed cats.
That's
what we told Wired, too. And he laughed for, like, oh, shit, like half an hour. And he comes back on the phone, and he's like, that's the best goddamn business plan I've heard in years. And because you just take the mick out of the whole bullshit of the whole e-commerce thing, and it's just like, whatever, guy. You know, why do you play golf?
Yeah.
You know, do you get paid to play golf? Well, some people do. Howdy Woods gets paid to be fucking.
But he
golf.
Likes to play
Actually,
golf.
Actually, he gets paid to wear the shoestick.
Exactly. He doesn't get paid to play
golf.
Yeah,
if nobody watched golf, no one would give a fuck. But, you know, Tiger Woods is there. But I promise you, he didn't play golf because he's like, God damn,
I got to make some bucks.
I'm going to make me some money.
If I hit this little ball into the little hole over there,
I'm making bread. You know, no.
No,
that's
he
not
likes golf.
No, he likes golf. So,
and we like doing this.
Yeah, we like doing this. It's actually funny. I'd be more happier doing this than I would trying to sell my books because the books are so personal.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like, yeah, whatever.
And people like it, and it's easy. If one show doesn't work,
yeah,
the next show is good.
Sean, your radio show's stupid. And I'd be like, ah, fuck you. And they would go, Sean, your books are stupid. I'd be like,
that's my heart and soul.
So I'd cry for half an hour, you know. I mean, it's sort of the way it is. It's just funny how you get connected to things. I mean, it's all kind of ethereal. It's weird.
It is.
It's
weird talking about
interviews
this
are fucked up, because they make you get all introspective. I hate that shit.
Make you think.
I'm like, no, damn it. Jesus, I don't know.
Just do it.
Why are you doing this, Peter? No.
Tell us why. What is your motivation? Why are you here?
I hope you feel proud. So, okay. What else?
But we'll interview you on the air.
Yeah, that's okay. Right.
What other kind of what are the other shows that are on radio?
There's Hacker Mind, which is a hacker show.
It's a show about fashion.
It's a show about fashion. You know, fall lineup. No, it's a show about hacking hacking in the broad sense, not computers, right?
Culture jamming, all sorts of shit like that.
Radio Freak America, which is another hacker-centric program.
Yeah.
But, of course, it broadcasts through computers, so you tend to attract that kind of thing, and that kind of
there
people
is,
can
there's
listen.
There's a subculture that falls in.
And there's also... Let me get out my schedule. Because these shows just...
There are
run
them,
they run themselves,
yeah.
Right? They send me a demo. I go, yeah, that's good. You're on. And they just keep broadcasting.
Thanks, guy. And they better, because if they don't, fucking some shit's a brick and they take
right.
off.
There's
an
off-axis, which is sort of a group of guys getting together talking about stuff, very what the hellish that we did before. There was a show called Magic for the Masses, which was awesome. awesome show.
Still on anymore?
Done by Leshack. No, it was sort of a limited run.
Oh, really?
And it was all pre-scripted, all done out. It was about the general world of magic.
Oh, really?
And not any specific religion or anything. It was so amazing.
Very cool.
It was mind-blowing to listen to because you had to wrap your head around it. Tales from the After Now, we broadcast the repeats of it. Probably should take those down. People are already sick of them by now.
Yeah.
Like, this is the same thing over and over. Where's the new one? Just teasing them. And also, we have a daily news show, like every day at noon.
Which is nuts.
Which is done by Skull Crew.
Which is
skullcrew.com.
And Skull Crew kind of was guys who got to know us and then they got inspired and they
And we worked together.
I guess we're kind of getting old.
We've been around for a very long time now.
So
I'd like to see how long, in comparison to other places, we've been around.
Field, you're practically veterans.
Yeah.
We are veterans, actually. We've been broadcasting since it came out. And
yeah, 24 hours, nonstop.
I went down to EA in Electronic Arts and had a guy who's a motion capture guy come up and say, "Hey, guy, I listen to your stuff. I think it's pretty funny." And I'm like,
"Who are you?
Can you give me a job, maybe, or something?"
Yeah.
You make big money, and I'm just a little person.
And
so
there's been people that have come up to Sean and I just out of the blue
and say,
"It's like I know you."
You're
and
rad.
You're like, "Okay, who are you?" It's like, "I listen to your station."
It's creepy the first few times it happens.
Yeah,
it's like, "Hey, you're the fucking man," and I'm like, "You know." And but now after a while of it,
like I'm amazed at how many people actually know about Rant Radio. But I guess if you're just on that long, people know about you, right?
Yeah.
And those are the stations on right now. There's lots in the works. Like I have to go through and approve, and have so little time to do it. But
so the people who produce these shows, are they like local? Are they
anywhere,
all over the world?
All over the world, anywhere. We have listeners all over the world. We have mirrors all over the world, which rebroadcast the station, give us more bandwidth, right? Because it takes a lot of cash to put up the bandwidth. These people donate it. They're at their schools or they're at their jobs or they run gaming servers that have free bandwidth.
There is more to this than just being cool, though.
Yeah.
I should make it, we should make it clear that there is a point to a lot of this. Like, a lot of the stuff we talk about is there's a lot of really scary shit going on in the world. And a lot of kids in a lot of control of news and, don't hate the media, become the media. So there are stories that are out there that need to get attention, and people aren't getting the attention on it.
And they either don't get the attention, or they don't get enough attention, or they're not even mentioned in the news.
Scientology is one of the greatest dangers facing young people, I believe, in North America, and you never hear about it. And that's why they hacked on Battlefield Earth so bad, because the critics had one shot to take a crack at them.
Yeah, and that was
and,
their
and
shot.
They just
we can criticize the movie.
And without getting sued, because Scientology's got these fucking lawyers that are out of, inside a glass. And eventually, if I were to scream loud enough, long enough, from a big enough box, I'd get sued, too.
Yeah.
But that doesn't change the fact that
they try and take down the station.
And that's just one thing we address. Yeah. I mean, there's, the Scientology, and there's all sorts of cults. There's a lot of things that prey on young people. There's a lot of things that prey on people who are our listeners, prey on consumers.
We try to think we're less evil than those.
Yeah, we try to educate people about that. And quite often, I'll see a story about, new technology that's come on the market, and I'll make a little prophecy about it, and I'll say, what's going to happen with this? The advertising guys are going to take this thing and make target spectrum shot advertising, and when you leave a story, you hear voices in your head. And sure as shit, not even a month later, you'll see a story saying that exact fucking thing comes up on the web, and they're like, "Yep, there it is," because you get to see the trend.
Yeah, it's very scary.
There's nothing magical about it. You just see a trend, and you follow that trend.
Yep,
you're like,
"That technology's gonna be
abused. Where's that gonna go?"
Yeah.
And that's sure as shit where it goes. And so there's a lot of ad busters type stuff. I'd cite that as a pretty big. Pretty big
influence on me.
A big influence on
you'll find them littered in my living room.
I think Adbusters is a wee bit extreme for me. Yet I would probably cite 40 Times.
But coming from Mr. Extreme.
Coming from
put
aliens in camps. Yeah.
You got to go to the extreme to show the comedy behind it.
Yeah, exaggeration to make a point.
Yeah.
And
you got to hit somebody with a sledgehammer. As quoted from the movie Seven, you got to hit somebody with a sledgehammer to wake them up and pay attention.
Yeah, so
nowadays, because people just don't pay attention.
They're so numb. Everybody's so goddamn numb. No one will talk to each other in a theater. And like we said to Wired, we weren't raised as a culture. We were distracted, and all of a sudden, fuck, we're 21 and we have to make life decisions. And the film Fight Club is not so far from the truth. You know what I mean? When you look at how, you know, the generations of people, especially the upcoming generation, I feel really bad for a lot of these kids, especially girls, who are between the ages of like 12 and 16, because, I mean, holy fuck, are they ever targeted? Like, oh, how can they possibly...
They are the target, yeah.
You know, shit, you are the product, and I feel so bad for these kids. It's funny, I also do security work, and there's a company that I do work at night. So yeah, that's right. I run my company during the day, and then at night I work full time as a security.
By night, he's a security guard.
I'm a security guard, and it's funny that fans haven't found me when I'm working security, but I've met kids and talked to them, and then they find out about the shows.
Yeah.
And now when I work security, these kids come by and they hang out with us and hang out with me, and I'll talk to them. And I just talk straight to these kids. That's all I do. They come down and they're like, hey, man, how's it going? And actually, it's not just kids anymore. I got like 20, 21, 22, 23-year-old people coming up to me saying, hey, man, how's it going? And they just want to talk. And they just want a viewpoint. They want someone to talk to them straight. And that's it. And there's a lot of people.
So I don't think they have an outlet for that.
No, they don't. And now every single site that I work at, if it's a different site location, there are people who go there looking for me. And I don't – do I think that's crossing the line? No, I don't. I totally, and if I were to get fired for that, I'd be like, right on, because there are some things that are more important,
mm-hmm.
and that is you know, the risk of sounding, you know, like, you know, heralding myself or whatever. But there are, fuck it, yeah, I'll herald myself. Who gives a shit? There are things more important. You know, you do have to have some concern for your fellow man. You do have to sit back and the reason, and that said, the reason why, okay, well, if that's all true, Sean, you're Mr. Well, why the fuck are you going to write horror? Why don't you write, you know, political satire or something like that? You know what I mean?
A guide to living.
A guide to living or some shit like that. Well, the reason behind that is that quite often you can't solve the world's problems. Okay, all you can do is take pain away for a little while from time to time and give people a break.
Yeah.
Okay, and... if that's all you do, that's enough. If you can encourage people to think, to stimulate their fucking brain, because there's so few people who even read anymore. Who's here?
Katrina.
Oh, okay. There's so few people who even think anymore, who even read anymore, who even stimulate their own brains anymore. A guy like Michael Moore comes along with Bowling for Columbine and fucking blows everybody's mind. You know, and it's great that he's done that, and I totally value the guy. I think he's a great, great guy. I think he's done a great thing. Some of his viewpoints are, again, a little bit far on the right, but that's his, or the left rather, but that's his viewpoint. You know, that's where he's at, and God love him. You know, but why should there be any difference between it? You can't just go out there and get on this big fucking crusade to save the world, because it can't be done.
No.
So all you can do is do what you can do best, and if you wind up helping some people, then fucking A.
Yeah, you can't do everything.
You can't do everything.
And,
so
and a lot of people
do
expect
what you're good
that.
At.
Expect
yeah.
somebody to do everything, or and they criticize you if you don't do everything.
Yeah, why aren't you doing enough? Why aren't you doing enough? Well,
you're not doing enough. You're not...
You know,
you're not punk enough. You're not vegan enough. You're not this.
Yeah, you're not this. You're not that. And to be honest with you, out of everything I've done, I think that the greatest talent I have, even more so than my, you know, think on my feet or whatever, I believe to be my writing. So that's what I'll do. I'll fucking write. And the only reason why I'd want to make a little bit of money at it is not so I make money. It's so I have more time to write. So I have the ability to give people more.
Yeah.
That's why you take money, and that's why that's okay. Versus
exactly.
me coming in here and blowing off steam, I'm never going to make any money from this. And even if somebody goes, well, hey, man, you know you could. Dennis Leary does. You know, what's that other fucking guy's name? He's on TV all the time. I haven't watched TV since 97. Well, sure, that's another one.
Yeah.
And then there's Dennis Miller.
Dennis Miller.
You know, all these guys, they get out and they do their little rants and everything, and then that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, and if that's your shtick, then rock on, you know. Hi.
What's up?
Oh. Okay, so...
Okay.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay, how many people listen at any given time? Can you actually know that?
I don't really pay attention too much to that.
A couple thousand downloads?
Yeah, like tons and tons of people downloading. In the IRC, it gets up into the about 100 or so.
Depending,
that's
on
just people chatting. That's not people listening either.
Yeah. So for every person that logs onto the IRC, you might have like say 10 people who listen.
Yeah.
This is a lot of people who listen who don't log on.
That's
to
right.
The IRC
and
live.
And it's at a certain time, so they listen at another time or download the show after, because I make the shows available after I record them all, mm-hmm. and then put them into MP3 and give them out. And that's a big thing, just sharing information with everyone.
I probably put it out about $5,000 or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably about $5,000.
Yeah. If you need a number.
Yeah, if you're looking for a ballpark number, I'd say about 5,000 listeners worldwide.
Yeah, yeah.
In small, extremely loyal sect cell groups who operate independently from each other.
Okay. Yeah, that pretty much covers my, what I want to know about the production of these things.
Yeah.
What do you use for editing?
I need a product. I use Cool Edit Pro, which is for audio editing. And Premiere for video editing. And gets a job done. Been using Cool Edit Pro for many, 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 many years. Got it down to a science now.
Okay, he's
takes
pretty,
no time at all to do that.
He's fucking good at that stuff, yeah.
And, yeah, just record it onto the videotape because they can record 6 hours and get the video, too, for whatever that's worth. Let's look at us sitting in a chair. Exciting. And then take off the video.
This. Oh, yeah, he'll keep that video.
And see all those videotapes up the top shelf there, hundreds of them? Yeah, those are all shows.
Yeah, I don't have a problem.
No problem at all. Yeah, I try and record and keep everything that that we've ever done because at some point somebody will want it. And I'm doing it for that person.
That's really bizarre, man. That's like really bizarre.
It's like,
man.
Do you have like the first show ever?
I need to find this. Yeah. Of course, I'm the same way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think, you know,
I'm just
people
a little bit more extreme.
I remember reading somewhere that somebody said like half of all of the early silent films are gone. They're just they were just never archived or anything like that.
Because
so.
They never thought
really
that they'd be anything
so
good. Or
there's a great lacking of these great silent films now that are.
Well, I'm not sure they're necessarily great, but the point is that they're not there anymore. Like there's a whole reel of Metropolis that nobody that was lost somewhere along the way.
Oh
and,
yeah.
And I mean, I'm sure then that the Sturgeon as well applied to them as equally with anything else. But the point is that they're not there anymore. And it's like the same thing happened with. The BBC, like they have a lot of shows are just listed, you know, missing, believed, wiped, and that somebody just took those.
See, I find that so sad.
If Simon if you were to watch a documentary on that, he'd like need therapy. And he said he'd be getting drunk watching that. He'd be just
like, I've missed 2 hours of one show, and that's the only thing I've ever missed.
And he's just like,
and I'm so upset about that. Every other show have,
nobody has a copy.
No, that was the 26-hour marathon that we did one time,
and you lost 2 hours of the 26
first 2 hours. I didn't.
What's wrong with you?
I didn't.
What's wrong? I'm sure it's out there. I'm sure somebody's got it. Got 2 hours.
No. It's not there. I asked everyone.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I just feel that's a loss, and that especially if a in the early all this great experimentation with silent film, people were trying to
for sure
new things, probably
all the innovations,
all that may have been
brave new world, right? A whole new character.
It makes it easier now that it's on computer, right? But still, people have to be conscious and do it. Just sit down and archive things. And there's a great website, archive.org, which you can actually go back.
Yeah. There's also a Rhizome project. They're archiving stuff.
Really?
Yeah, I did a story about this guy who did this thing called Raising the Dead.
Yeah.
It was sort of a memorial site for his brother, and it was like, it was pretty weird, but he said he was deliberately wants to take it off a year after he puts it up, which is the period of mourning prescribed by Jewish custom.
Okay.
And so, but the irony is that the site is already being archived
automatically
by Rhizome and all these other places.
Okay.
So
yeah.
In a sense, it is still there. Even if he himself takes it offline.
We could get really into archiving and Scientology and how they're fighting to erase history.
Rewrite history. And
because they've fought with archive.org and Google to erase what existed on pages criticizing them.
Sure.
Oh my God.
He who hath the biggest lawyers wins.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like so you there's can't a lot change of history. It was there. Learn from it.
The greatest thing, the neat thing is that. The reason why people would want to change history is because they want to hide secrets.
Yeah.
And the way to get over that is to not have any secrets. And that's why I don't mind talking to people. That's why I'm, you know, like I even told you, you know, the name of my company and stuff like that. But I just asked you, I said, I wish you would spread that around. Mm-hmm. Now, you could say, fuck you, Sean, and go do your thing.
The big headline.
Yeah, the big headline.
Sean works out.
Cyber culture fucking up the world, you know, whatever. but you won't, right? And it becomes... In order to get something from people, you have to give something. You have to give trust. You have to trust people. You have to say, no, man. And you get burned. Yeah, we've been burned.
Oh,
fucking A, we've been burned hard.
Really hard.
But
you suck it up and you go, well, you know, not everyone's a fuck.
Yeah.
You know, not everyone's great, but not everyone's a fuck. So do you let the fucks win? You know, and that's what it is. It's not how hard you can hit, it's how hard you can get hit.
Yeah.
And that's where it's at.
Okay. What's the Zim nickname based on?
That goes back to 92. And I just needed a nickname for BBSs, because I ran my a BBS back in the day. And I was just
11 years ago, over a decade ago.
Oh, back in the day.
Yes, long ago.
And I was just looking up words in the thesaurus and looked up dark and gloomy, right? It says
on the show tonight.
Just for something.
Yeah.
Hey!
Sorry!
Go ahead. And the adjective for dark and gloomy was Sumerian. It's actually a word that means dark and gloomy. Sam.
Oh, okay. C-I-M. Okay, sorry.
C-I-M-M-E-R.
Okay. Is that why Robert Howard called him Conan the Sumerian or something like that?
I have no idea. Nothing to do with Conan. Thankfully not too many people bring that up in the IRC. Nothing to do with Conan. Shut the hell up.
Sam is Conan.
Yeah. Far from it.
Well, there was that one bit of art that was done by
Drew
the Vegan, this really skinny Vegan with this huge battle axe. We're all badass. And it was Sumerian.
Totally funny.
Which was very good. Yeah, we get that kind of stuff a lot. We have a lot of really cool comic art that's coming.
Yeah.
And as for
people did a little comic strip, a person does it, Id Fungus did a comic strip of us.
Yeah, he's actually very talented. He has a comic he runs called Goon Squad.
Yeah.
And amazing art. And he also runs a tattoo shop and a bunch of stuff like that. Amazing guy. And he's a big fan.
All of our listeners are amazing.
Yeah, you could fill a book really just with them. Like, you should do a story on
what
the listeners, not on us.
Yeah.
On the naming of things, this is interesting. We do every show I have a section called Digital Baptism.
Yeah.
Where people come to me and they say, I need an online name, and I hand out these online names. And I've named everything from computers to mice to people.
Cats.
And it's neat. And they change their name, and they're there. You know, that's their initiation. That's the rite of passage.
Yeah.
You know, into the Rant Radio community. And I think it's really cool. And I think, you know, people are like, well, that's some fucking stupid, you know, fuck guy. I mean, come on, just fuck off. Who do you think you are? Well, you know what? Fuck you. All right? This is what these people are into. They're not hurting nobody, man. Okay, they're not sticking needles in their fucking arms. Leave them be, man.
Yep.
We're all having a good time here. Everybody's having fun. You don't like it, you know, fuck off.
Yeah.
I'll just go back to my library and I'll play Dungeons and Dragons with my friends, okay? So just suck my ass, you know, and that's pretty much where it's at, you
yep.
know?
It's all for fun. They love it.
If you're not hurting nobody and, you know, you're making a difference and doing some good, then why not?
Yeah. Hmm. Are we blowing your mind?
No, I don't think so. This guy's mind doesn't look like it's too easily blown.
Anything else you think we ought to cover?
Oh, there's probably billions of things.
No, I think I shamelessly plugged my writing enough.
Yeah, I did my band plug.
We did the band plug, writing plug. We got Smokehouse in there, the token Smokehouse comment. We got Angry Shirts in there.
Yeah.
We got Goon Squad, Skull Crew.
Yeah.
Tales of the After Now, which I don't really want to plug, but we end up plugging that.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's fun. Yeah. Where's this going?
I actually don't have a buyer yet.
To the highest bidder.
Oh, God. You're so fucked, guy. No one's going to want to read about us. So I'm like, I'm sorry. Shit, you're going to do a lot of work for fuck all.
Well, I figured I'd...
Maybe we'll buy it.
We'll buy it back from you. Don't publish that.
Don't publish that. Big money.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I was thinking about Shift, maybe, or new magazine, Rez, out of New York, maybe, or...
cool.
New magazine coming that hopefully will be starting up soon called Fulminate.
Okay.
It's supposed to be for progressive libertarians.
Progressive libertarians?
Yeah.
Libertarians.
What the hell's a progressive libertarian?
I don't know. Aren't libertarians progressive enough?
I don't know. I remember Cold Comfort Farm, she was calling Seth a libertine. I don't know.
Yeah. So he's doing stuff on like drug legalization and zoning restrictions for nightclubs and things like that. So
Rant Radio fits right in.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. Maybe it could be an angle. But I'm trying to see if you want to make a living at this. You
got to shop around.
I got to break up into the. Also, I want to break into the national magazines, which is
it's a tough game, guy. Because the thing is, I've done some reading because I wanted to do writing myself. I kind of took a look at that whole. Like, I've done some reading on publishing and writing, different styles of writing, and the freelance writing. It's like, whew, wow. Yeah, that's well,
you just keep at it like
that's
we're
a
doing,
tough right? gig, you know. It's a tough gig, but I mean, hey, you got the dream, you're gonna go and fucking hey, brother. I mean, anything
yeah,
we can do to
it's
help.
Not easy. Like I was calling North Shore News trying to sell them something about Broken Saints. They're having their 2-year anniversary.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, right.
And you know, it's like pay me $50-$60 for a 1,000-word story, and I can get, what the hell is that? That's
well, it gets me on the bus home, eh?
Yeah, you know, that's great. I can get the bus ticket to and from the bar. Wonderful. Yeah,
yeah.
I just feel that the actual people actually do the writing and gathering of stuff is getting pushed further and further down the
oh, for sure.
Down the
well. What do you mean when you've got the editor's daughter, the owner's daughter, doing fucking Susie's Night Out in the province, the biggest fucking cosmic hand job there is. The only reason why is because she's married to the editor's son or whatever the fuck it is. Mm. We know that because the photographer of the province gave us all the dirt on that shit. So he was all tight there. He's like, it's fucking bunk. And he was going off about the industry.
It was awesome.
I'm like, yeah, he wigged right out. We're like, give this brother a microphone. There's a lot of angry people out there. So, I mean, we'll probably talk to you about that on the show tonight. Talk about the whole, you know, because there's a lot of people out there like, wow, I'd like to be a writer. I have no illusions about my likelihood of making it as a novelist.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, you can probably
say with a music artist.
Oh, yeah. Like, what are you fucking kidding?
There's
you know,
a billion bands
I'll
out there.
Probably write 5, 10, 12 books, put them all online. All the time, my craft is getting better because you do. You improve. You read lots. You write lots. Yeah. You get better.
Yeah.
And maybe down the road, maybe book 15, I might sell one. Make my $5,000 advance and then fade to obscurity, you know? I'll have my one...
Be heralded after death.
I'll be heralded in the sun as I drink my Starbucks in my chapters and see my one little book that nobody buys and stand there and wait to see who comes and buys it. You should buy that one. You know, like,
I've heard he's a good writer.
I've heard he's good. Look at the picture. it's me. You know, sure. I mean, that's there, but you can't be doing this thing for long, man. You can't be sitting there for the love of money. You got to
do it for the love of doing it.
You got to do it for the love. Mm. And I think that anybody, like, I respect the fuck out of what you're doing because I couldn't do it. Yeah. There's no way I could do that. I mean, I think being a fiction writer, I mean, because I can hide for months. Yeah, yeah, working on a book. Working on a book.
Yeah.
Yeah, not writing today. Writer's block. Yeah, it's rough. I'm going to go hang out at a coffee shop, be a writer. What are you doing? Nothing. Just being a writer. You know, that's what writers do. We hang out at coffee shops, right? I mean, there's lots of ways to hide shit like that. But I respect that. I respect the fact that you do that. I'm sucking up now. He'll be nice to us now. He won't call us.
I'm not in a position where I'm often sucked up to. So.
Yeah, well, it's more of a respect thing, to be honest with you. I respect that because it's, I mean, shit, you made money. I mean, you must have made some money. You must have sold something. Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're doing better than I am. So I got sent $5. That's my grand total. I got sent $5. That guy, I believe his name's Eric. I promise I'd never forget his name too. Fuck, I've got it written on
your first $5.
I've got it framed at home. Yeah. I got it. But a guy discovered Tales of the Afternoon. He sent me $5 on PayPal.
Nice.
And I wrote him this big fucking expansive email, which was like, "Thank you so much," and blah 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 blah. And he wrote back, "You're welcome." That's all I wrote back because I thought it was great.
So
he's like, whatever, you fucking weirdo.
Whoa, calm down,
man. I'm not sending you no more money. You're a fucking freak.
You might send me a letter I have to read.
You know, no long fucking email. But that really meant a lot to me. Like, well, when I do, I know that when I put, you know, the book out, I'll get, you know, 20, 30, 40 people.
Yeah.
Probably who will go, yeah, wow, Sean, here's $5, you know, for the book. Yeah. Or here's $20. I think your book, you know, your average book's about $10. Here's $10 American. I'll fucking shit a daisy for every person. Did you like it? You know, and I'll be so bucking for compliments. I'll be like, oh, you're the best. I'll be reading mine. I'm going all grooning. And then the high wears down.
Yeah.
And then I must write something better. It's a vicious cycle, you know, and it just, it's fun. It's the ride, right?
Do you have any plans to go through, like, the regular publishing route?
I'll try to find an agent and stuff. I've done some general reading on the industry. I've done enough reading to know that I probably want to try to find myself an agent because the publishing industry is the biggest bunch of fucking sharks in the world, and they will fuck you at the drive-thru and leave you to die in an alley. So I'd like to try to find an agent, but, I mean, who the fuck am I? Hi, Mr. Agent. I'm this clown. I mean, I probably have a bit more clout than some guy who doesn't have an internet radio station and doesn't have a fan base. You know what I mean? But I'd rather sit back and give my books away for free and eventually have an agent or somebody come up to me and say, hey, you know what? We noticed that you have a lot of fans.
And somebody came to us and said, we should look at your shit, and we have, and we want to publish you, and you want to do that? We'll give you money. And I'll say, sure, because up till now, we don't really have a product.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck's the product? He's got his music, which is getting better. Yeah. Everything's always improving. Oh. And eventually, that's a product. He has a product.
That's right.
I don't have a product. No, I just went back, and after much deliberation, I went, well, you know, fuck, after the Skull Crew interview, I went, yeah, fuck. Am I going to go it or not? Or am I going to spend the rest of my life going, I wish I'd have been a writer and I never had the balls? You know, and then...
You got to do it.
Yeah. So, there it is. So, yeah, I'll go the regular publishing route, you bet. But, I mean, if I never did, if I never fucking printed a book and it was all done through the web and people just printed out books, put them in binders, and I sent them little autograph things and they put it in there and they had their Sean Kennedy binder collection over there and I made my money that way, happier than a pig in shit. The little binding with the 4x4 and the Tor label on the back there, that doesn't mean as much to me as it used to. When you're a kid, you're like, wow, you know, drinking the Starbucks and watching your book in chapters. That doesn't mean as much to me now. The fact that somebody would be willing to send me a couple of bucks for something I wrote, I think, is fucking rad. Mm-hmm. That's just, I mean, you can't get higher praise to me.
Is that what you plan to do with Porn on Beta?
Oh.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that if you put your albums on the web and sold them for money, you'd rather do that than...
Yeah, I have. I'd rather go through the internet route and publish it on the internet than going through some record company.
Yeah, who'd advance your money.
Chuck D said it best, a million bands on a million labels, all their own labels. Mm-hmm. I'd rather do it through the donation. I've sold lots of albums on the net. And I put up the songs for download for free.
Yep.
And I'm doing it for the music's sake. And if they send me money because of it, great. Mm-hmm. That shows they like it, and they want to, because the CDs aren't free to press, mm-hmm. and it costs money to get equipment to make the CDs.
That's right.
So it shows that they like it, and they want to encourage the music even more. But even an email sent back or a good review from some guy's website on the net is good enough.
Porn on Beta isn't a casual music band. They're not like a fluffy little fucking Britney Spears kind of band that, you know, you can listen to and drive and be like, la, 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 la. Their songs are poignant. They have a point. There's something going there. So Sims Music is for fans. They're for people who will buy the fucking album.
Yeah.
You know, and if other people want to listen to it and like it, that's great.
Yeah.
But there will be, I believe, enough fans of his music that will go, yeah, fucking A. That's where they get some identity from.
And it's kind of funny. People are asking, like, can you come to Toronto? Can you come to Calgary? And I'm like, well, I wish I could, but...
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
We're just selling over the internet. We don't have a record label backing us up, pushing them in the stores, and our face plastered on the walls. It's like we don't have the financial backing to make it out to Calgary, Toronto. Yeah, but I would love to.
It's nice that way, because if my books were to go, people are like, can you come to Toronto? I'll be like, you bet. I'll be at this bus stop and I'll be signing books. You know, I mean,
exactly.
That's where it'll be.
A little bit easier for Sean. He just takes his band.
I'm just me. You know, got my equipment.
Got to take the band and the drums and stuff like that.
It's
I take it slow. I just I make the music as it comes along. I just
no rush.
It's just for fun.
Radio.
I have a job.
Yeah.
I make money at my job.
That's right.
This is all for fun. If it goes bigger, somebody wants to pay me for it, and subdue my job and
so you do this full time. That's fucking
because
rad.
I work at my job, so I can have fun doing the stuff I want.
Yeah.
And if somebody's going to pay me to do the exact same stuff that I want, great. That just leaves more time for the stuff that I like doing.
Is Porn on Beta just you, or are there other people involved?
Lots of people involved. The main guy, the other guy, Corey Hobbes, that's in the band, he's the brains behind it. He makes the music. I'm the singer and the producer, and I put together the albums and stuff. I'm the audio engineer guy.
Big team.
But, and we have a bassist and a drummer and another female singer, and it's all on the website, all their names and stuff.
Okay.
And it's like an internet project. There's lots of bands out there doing that now. Like my friend Corey, he lives in Abbotsford, right? And he sends me the music over the internet.
Mm.
I record the vocals over here. I send it back to him. He gets to listen to it. And I get the bassist in here and guitarist in here, and they do it over top. And it's all done on computers. And then I put it on the web. It's all virtual band, right?
Yeah.
Do you ever do it live?
We've done 3 live shows. And they've been fun, and I love doing live. It's so energizing. It's so much fun, and that's my forte.
Just do a Suburban Cowboy. We'll play Suburban Cowboy in the halftime music.
We could do that too, so you can hear it.
And okay, we'll give you a copy of one of the albums too. You can take it home.
Yep. And it's like EBM or industrial electronic music. Yeah. And I call it's lots of fun.
I'd call it techno-industrial.
For sure. Whatever label you want to put on it. It's good fun. I love music. I've been together with this guy, Corey, forever.
Yeah.
For like
Corey's
12 forever. Years now. We've been in many different bands, and this one just works this time, and we're sticking with this one. It's the right format.
Very, very, very cool. So Rant Radio, like I was going to say, Rant Radio, Porn on Beta, and like the Dark Atlas and all the writing and all that, it's we do it for the fans.
Yeah.
It's for the fans, and...
We like doing it. They like it.
I don't think I'd want to have casual fans. I don't think I'd want to have fans who are like, oh, yeah.
It's okay.
I sometimes listen. I want to have fans like, no, like we would never be the kind of people who they talk about at a dinner party where no one's got a chin. And they'll be like, oh, you know, and they all say, well, I've listened to Porn on Beta, and, you know, I don't really care for them. You know, so you talk that way about Ayn Rand, and someone will snub you and turn around and walk away. Versus someone says, well, I don't like Porn on Beta. Most of our fans are like, yeah, you don't think so? Crack. You know, and we're comfortable with that. You know, we like that. We like, you know, the Insane Clown Posse level fans. You know, we like the Juggalo
concept. I find our fans either hate us or love us to death. Like, there's no middle ground.
Yeah, the Rant Radio fans are like,
you hate us.
We know it all, man. Yeah, you're looking at the heads, aren't you? Yeah, sometimes he goes too far, you know. But
once they're on, they're hooked. They just don't go away.
And it's very rewarding. Very, very rewarding. I'm going to get more water. Oh, actually,
We have to wrap it up for this interview.
Yep. Pretty quick. What time is it?
22, so okay, I got to get
if we can
moving.
Get, yeah. Is it okay if we terminate this?
Anything else?
Okay, cool. Anything else? Or?
Not that I can think of.
Okay, groovy.
Excellente.
Cool.